Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, it is 3/11 day. What's going on in the news today, Kathy?
The city of Philadelphia announced its first confirmed case of coronavirus, while the state of New Jersey announced its first death related to the COVID-19 on Tuesday. Several counties in both Pennsylvania and New Jersey have reported presumptive positive cases. Fewer in isolation in the hospital, while many have been self-isolating at home. The city of Philadelphia announced its first presumptive positive case of coronavirus on Tuesday afternoon. Officials said the person is an adult resident of the city who was known to have exposure to previously confirmed cases of the virus. The person is being treated at home, and officials have started contacting others who came into contact with this individual. Late Tuesday night, organizers of the Philadelphia's St. Patrick's Day Parade canceled the longtime city tradition. There are now a total of 14 presumptive positive cases in Pennsylvania. Two residents in Bucks County are among the Pennsylvania's newest cases. Eight people are reported presumptive positive in Montgomery County, with the CHOP doctor hospitalized in critical condition at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. The infected doctor has two dozen patients and came in contact with 17 staffers, CHOP said on Tuesday. Montgomery County officials are urging residents to limit their public activity. Officials in Delaware County confirmed a woman is quarantined in her home and after testing positive. Several schools across the region were closed for deep cleaning and other precautionary measures. New Jersey reported its first death of coronavirus. The patient was a 69-year-old man from Bergen County with underlying health conditions. Four new positive cases were announced on Tuesday, bringing the state's total to 15. Another 31 cases are still under investigation. The Delaware Department of Public Health reports Tuesday that two of the three tested positive for COVID-19 have tested negative. So they thought they were coronavirus, but they actually weren't,
right.
With one case that's still under investigation. So Delaware actually not yet being affected as much as the rest of us. The officials say they're monitoring 18 people, but 17 have tested negative for the virus in Delaware.
Yeah, they're saying as things progress, it's going to be, as they get more and more data and more the testing goes out, the numbers should drop because people don't know. They think they have it and they don't. So
right.
we'll see how that plays out. And I think a lot more people are starting, the people that I'm experiencing, people are seeing on the news, are starting to put it in perspective. And I'm sensing a slight, at least, stasis on the panic.
A calm down?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Hopefully that's the case. Maybe not deluding myself.
Officials with Westchester University said Tuesday they will suspend face-to-face classroom instruction out of an abundance of caution in the middle of the ongoing response to combat the coronavirus. In a letter to students, parents, faculty, and staff, the university said it will move to alternate modes of instruction for the remainder of the spring semester. To expedite, faculty will use the next 2 weeks to prepare their courses for remote delivery and remote advising and registering for summer and fall terms, Westchester University President Christopher Fiorentino said in a statement. Current online courses will not be affected and will run as scheduled beginning on March 16th. School officials said the university does not have any confirmed cases of COVID-19 and is continuing to proactively manage the health of the Westchester University community.
I'm sorry, guys. Did you say is this the story that involves the case with students that had been out of the country returning?
No. That was Villanova. I think.
Okay.
Is that who you're talking about?
Right. Yeah, right.
No, there's no cases at Westchester. They've just decided to not hold any classes, so everything will be done online.
Are they sending students home
where?
In the dorm situations?
Yeah.
Oh, no, because there's no cases. There's no cases yet. So they're just not sending them into
the classrooms.
Into the classrooms.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they have the capability to do it and they can ride this out.
Yeah.
And that's every precaution certainly helps.
Sure. I mean, are they going to? Well, you're not really allowed to party on campus, are you?
In Westchester,
and
no.
They never do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they don't.
No, we
really.
We did not.
Go off campus.
Yeah, we go off
really
campus.
Were they pretty arch about that?
Wait, like I'm still there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
No, we did not. I mean, listen, the occasional, like if you were sitting with your roommate, and,
right.
We might have something in our room, but no, you did not have a party on campus because if you got busted, you got in a lot of trouble. So, I mean, it was a 2-block walk to off campus, and you just went to somebody who didn't live on campus.
Yeah.
You went to their house.
And people are gonna, do what people are going to do. So,
officials said residence halls and South Campus apartments will not be open, and the Office of Residence Life will be in contact with each student. Case residence halls and South Campus apartments will not be open. So no, they are sending them home.
Oh, they're sending them home.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? your senior year.
And you have to go home.
Second semester, senior year, when you're just coasting at that point. Honestly.
Well, that's pay dirt, is it not?
Yeah.
That's what you've worked for.
I mean,
you've worked for partying your senior year.
You, well, you get the second best thing. You can be home with your parents.
Yeah.
You know what, though, Case? I bet you the majority of seniors are not living on campus.
And then, so that's even better because then you don't even have to make it to class on time.
Yeah. You just got to log on to your computer.
That was like the biggest thing. I remember missing a class. It was second semester my senior year, Steve. I had missed a class twice, and the professor said, if you miss another class, you're failing. I was like, oh my God, you're going to fail me? My second semester, senior year?
God, right.
God, dude.
Like, seriously, this is an elective.
So I got a text from a person who works there last night. They're on spring break right now, Westchester University students, and they're just being told not to come back. So they're on spring break, and the campus is going to be closed, and don't come back when spring break is over.
How many more months? So when does the school year wrap up anyway?
Two more months, right? I mean, okay. We're in mid-March.
Yeah, usually in May.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Early May for most schools.
Large public events and public gatherings will be canceled, including Westchester University's 37th Annual Presidential Scholarship Community Gala, officials said.
However, their kissing booths are remaining in operation. To me, that's counterproductive, but, you know, that's their thing.
All athletics will continue at the school for now. The NCAA has not given any other direction, so the schools are proceeding with their games. Joe Biden decisively won Michigan's Democratic presidential primary on Tuesday, seizing a key battleground state that helped propel Bernie Sanders' insurgent candidacy 4 years ago. The former vice president's victory there, as well as in Missouri and Mississippi, dealt a serious blow to Sanders and substantially widened Biden's path to the nomination. Biden again showed strength with working class voters and African Americans, who are vital to winning the Democratic nomination. Sanders' hopes on Tuesday rested on states where far fewer delegates were at stake, Idaho, North Dakota, and Washington State. Washington's primary was too early to call late Tuesday. Addressing supporters in Philadelphia, Biden noted that many had declared that his candidacy was dead only days ago, but now we're very much alive. He also asked Sanders' supporters to back him going forward.
It's never been a worse time to watch TV because either you have politicians trying to terrify us, or you have people on the news trying to terrify us. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I was watching Modern Family last night. I'm like, this is the world I want to live in right now.
Last night marked a high point for the former vice president's staff. They sipped beer and broke into an impromptu dance party after his speech held close to his Philadelphia headquarters. In sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
The Flyers' winning streak is over. They lost to the Boston Bruins last night in South Philly, falling 2-0. Tuukka Rask made 36 saves in the shutout, while Carter Hart took the loss despite making 27 saves. Loss ended the Flyers' 9-game overall winning streak and 7-game home winning streak. It was the first home loss since February 6th against New Jersey. The Flyers are on the road tomorrow night with a game against the second-best team in the Eastern Conference, the Tampa Bay Lightning. The puck is set to drop at 7 o'clock. After a 4-game road trip through California, the Sixers are back home tonight with a game against the Detroit Pistons. The Sixers have fallen to sixth place in the East, a half a game behind the Indiana Pacers for fifth and 3 games behind the Miami Heat for fourth. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 o'clock. And it's spring training. The Phillies beat the Twins yesterday afternoon in Clearwater, winning 5-1. With the win, the Phils improved to 13-5 in the Grapefruit League. They're off today before returning to action on Thursday afternoon with a game against the Rays. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, Kathy, thanks so much. As you said before, Preston out again today. Just as a precaution, he wasn't feeling all that well yesterday, but he was definitely feeling better. So we want to make sure they're wearing on the side of caution. He has the regular flu. You know, there's all these different trendy flus going around now. Yeah. He's got a standard flu, but it is, in the interest of not being contagious and, you know, preaching and practicing what we preach, he's going to take the day off today. And we'll see how that affects things down the end of the week. We might have some announcements about a different variation on spring training and, you know, how we might approach that. But it's going to happen regardless. Yeah. It just might happen in a different way.
Do you think if this coronavirus thing wasn't happening that Preston would be here today?
Is it contagious flu? I mean, he has influenza B, which is contagious and can affect other people.
No, so, I know.
Yeah, I hope that he wouldn't be.
But I think I think there is now a hyper awareness. And actually, again, talking to Dr. Mike and a number of other doctors are saying, if the peripheral collateral result of all this is that people become more aware during flu season about things like that and not taking risks with other people's health when they have the regular flu, which, as we know, is kills a lot of people every year, and obviously people in risk areas, then it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And just simply wiping off door handles and disinfecting and all that stuff. So who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
Nick, I was watching Modern Family last night.
Nick, he came to work with MRSA. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. I remember that. Listen, we're idiots. What can we say?
Yeah.
It took a while, but
we're warriors, Steve.
We're warriors and idiots. There's a fine line. But yeah, he is off today, so we will carry on with what we call a enhanced best of.
Yes.
So we'll be cutting in and doing some of the normal stuff that we normally do.
Yep.
Plus, hopefully, some of your favorite bits.
Yeah. So it's Wednesday, so that means it's a secret text word day. So
nice.
If you text the word secret to 39333, we will bounce back a word to you, and you will be in the running to win a 4-pack of movie tickets from Fandango.
And later on, we will be checking in with Alex and Mike, right?
Yep. So we do Fox Good Day just a little bit before 8 o'clock this morning. So a couple of things that we're, normally going to do.
Couple old songs. But some old stuff, some new stuff, and hopefully you'll hang with us throughout the morning.
All right. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We still have to do the stupid question.
Yeah.
And we'll get, what is that, $100 Fogo de Chão gift card. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thanks, Kathy, and we're going to grab an answer now, Case.
Yes, and the interns are doing a great job over there. They only had a couple of seconds. Kathy didn't even have a sponsor ready, so they had less time to get the answer.
They rocked it, so let's go.
I would give them more time.
No, they're good. We're good.
They're set to go.
Yeah,
let's go to Steve.
All right, we're going to go to Steve. I got to reach over the board over here. Steve on line 6. Hey, Steve, are you there?
Yeah, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon to you, sir, and a Matt Damon to your family. The stupid question, the movie, 1995 movie Outbreak. What was the animal that started the virus in motion?
I believe it was a monkey.
It was a monkey! That's right, it was a good movie.
A lot of those pandemic movies are really good. The other one that I really like is Contagion with Matt Damon.
Another good one.
Yeah. Mike, that is your name. No, your name is Steve. All right, I'm just going to put you on hold. Anyway, Steve, you just won yourself a $100 gift card for Fogo de Chão. You can explore more with a $40 four-course dinner from Fogo de Chão, including select fire-roasted meals, market table, Brazilian sides, even dessert.
Try so
Fogo's.
Good.
Yeah, try Fogo's four courses for $40 in Center City and King of Prussia. Reservations at Fogo.com.
All right, so we proceed again. We're going to have some of your hopefully favorite bits today, and we'll be coming on live periodically throughout the show, so keep listening. What do we have up first, Case?
We're going to talk about something that everybody has, an experience with and perhaps an opinion on, and that is school lunches.
All right, let's go.
We had mentioned, Kathy, and the news did earlier, that in Cherry Hill there's this thing with the school lunches that they have on.
I guess the kids have an account, and they're serving certain lunches to the kids who don't pay their account.
Yeah. Or in the rears, as they say.
Yeah, so you get a tuna fish sandwich and some other stuff, but that's now become the mark of, you don't pay your bill.
Oh, tuna fish eater.
But Steve had mentioned, isn't what you bring from home a lot of times a tuna fish sandwich?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't start buying lunch probably until I got into high school. And then by the time I was driving in high school, we could leave campus.
Yeah.
So go to McDonald's.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we couldn't leave campus.
No, yeah.
In high school?
Yeah.
And in high school, we had a Burger King right across the street from our school. But no, that was like some kids would like sneak out. Mm-hmm. But no, you'd get in trouble if you left.
Yeah, we could flat out leave. But no, you had to go quickly. or you would not make it back in time. So you had to time it out.
Well, so that's the problem with some of the lunches today. So, for instance, at our elementary school, the kids get such little time to eat that I send Jace with a packed lunch because he bought one time and he said he didn't even have time to
How long did they get?
Part of it. I don't know exactly the time, but...
I read an article on this the other day about the fact that the lunch period has, the time-wise, has shrank on a national level, and that people aren't getting, kids aren't getting enough food.
And it's not, like, it's across the board. I hear parents complain about it all the time in our district, and it's ridiculous. Well, I don't know why they don't give the kids enough time to eat their damn lunch.
Wait a second. You come in, so you're going to get, first, you get your, the appetizers come out. Right?
And then
you pay the bill, and you got it, and then a little bit of chatter, and maybe like an espresso, and then back to class. That's the main line.
I wasn't sure if they were shrinking the lunchtime. I know at my kid's school, and I have a real issue with this, and I don't want to, like, raise a stink, but the problem is, for the kids that have to buy lunch, is there's one line and one cashier, and so it takes forever to go through this line. And then kids, they butt all the time, you know? So, like, my daughter gets, like, really upset about it because, like, you know,
she's sitting there waiting.
She is a rule follower, right? So, and then people are just, oh, frontsies, backsies, and that whole crap. And so she's only, you know, now she's got, like, 5 minutes to eat.
Need somebody to monitor the line.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The kids come home starving.
I didn't realize this was such a big thing because there were some, it was all the years going to school, it was a lot of kids brought their lunch, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. I always brought, I never.
Always.
Yeah.
I still bring my lunch.
It's a 60-pound tub of produce.
But you're still bringing your lunch from home.
My mom would usually make lunch for me and my brothers because there were two of us, so it just made sense to make three lunches. Occasionally, my dad would make the lunch, and those weren't as good.
Thanks for the bag of salt, Dad. bag of salt.
But we would usually get about 60 to 75 cents for dessert, which could be applied to the freshly made chocolate chip cookies, which were phenomenal. And they were one of those, they were the giant cookies that had, they were like gooey centers.
Yeah.
They were.
It was a Spunkmeyer or no?
No.
Oh, it was Spunkmeyer. Like
they were made in the cafeteria case. I don't know what they were. But
Spunkmeyer could be made because a lot of times.
These were like Conestoga homemade, and I have a jonesing for them.
In the grade school days, though, the greatest day of the week was pizza day.
Yeah, oh, sure.
When that would happen. That
usually
was
Friday. Even crappy awesome. Cafeteria pizza was a godsend.
Absolutely.
And it didn't matter. There was something that approximated cheese on it. You didn't know whether it was that or they just melted plastic spoons on it, whatever it was. But it was, they called it pizza.
Was your pizza like an Elio's? Was it like rectangular?
Mine was rectangular.
But I actually liked our cheesesteaks in high school, and they didn't even chop them up. I mean, it was really... All it was, you know...
Like steak 'em?
Like a steak 'em, basically, and they would throw a cheese in the middle, and then...
Would you like more meat like matter on that?
They would roll the steak up so that the cheese was in the middle, and the entire steak was always fully intact. I loved it.
Well, as I said earlier, for like eighth grade, you know, with kids, and I know kids can be finicky. I was in eighth grade, so I wasn't a kid, but for some reason I got the notion of sitting down to a full meal throughout school was something that I never ate a big lunch. It was never anything that I did.
But you know what? The kids need to eat. They are there so long, and if you can't learn if you're starving and your stomach is rumbling.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I'm not saying sit down for a 7-course meal like you joked, but they need to give them more time than they're getting.
I was traumatized in second grade, though, Kathy, because it was a big ZD day. And I threw up in front of the entire school.
Oh, I remember that story.
That was it. It traumatized me.
We had French bread pizza day.
Oh, my God. Yes. I love French bread.
Yo! No. The school didn't have it. The teacher she was dating took her out to a restaurant.
That's awesome.
I know a great French place up the road, baby. Let's cut out.
I love Stouffer's French bread pizza. I really do. By the way, Steve.
I really do.
I thought we were sticking on.
God, I love it.
Sorry. Steve, you said that I just want to. You said, well, I wasn't really a kid because you were talking about eighth grade.
Yeah.
Your perception of what an eighth grader is way off. An eighth grader, because I have a seventh and eighth grader now, is still a child.
Well, okay, so I would have every day, I would have, my mother would pack a pickle in a bag, and I would have a Lipton iced can of Lipton iced tea.
Yes, oh, your mom would pack that? I thought you were saying that's what you... Yeah.
Oh, okay. You did ask for it.
I did not want to eat a big meal. And every time, so for me, it was the converse. Every time I would eat a big lunch, I would feel sluggish for the rest of the day. And it was incredibly stupid. But, you know, I never threw up on that, and baked ziti made me throw up, so I learned my lesson.
One of the things that at the lunchroom that I never could wrap my mind around was the pizza roll. I mean, like, not little bitty, you know, appetizer pizza rolls, like a big burrito-sized pizza roll.
Oh, you had those?
Like, yeah, we had those. I'm like, that's not pizza. What are you trying to do to me here?
Listen.
This is not appetizing at all. That and when they tried to push lima beans on us, I was like,
come on,
dude, are you seriously?
Well, they also knew, so they were selling the meals, and we would get the printout of the menu for the month, and it would be hung on the refrigerator, and so you'd know what was coming up. But even they knew things that they weren't able to move after a while, like the lima beans and all those things that they tried as hard as they could nutritionally, but there were some things that we're just going to move. And after a while, they stopped training.
Kathy,
dump that on you.
So you brought your own. You always brought your own. There was a stretch where I brought mine, too. Did you ever trade with people?
No, I never traded.
You know why?
Because, Preston, you know why? Because I had the whole wheat bread. I had the
apple.
Nobody
wanted what you had.
Nobody wanted. They wouldn't trade with
Try
me.
Try having a pickle.
I had, and you'll have an audio clip ready for this, but I traded one time with this guy. I don't remember what I had. I just wasn't interested in it. And it was a pork chop sandwich.
Pork chops.
That's right.
Really?
It was a pork chop salad sandwich, actually. His mom had cut up a pork chop in a little bitty cubes.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Some mayo and relish. Dude, it was awesome.
Was it really?
I started making that on my own.
Wow. I hated those days, the day after leftover sandwiches, meatless sandwiches. Oh, my God.
Meatloaf sandwich.
I love meatloaf sandwiches.
Meatloaf sandwiches were great.
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving, when you'd have turkey sandwiches, all that stuff.
I'm okay with a turkey sandwich. But anything like meatloaf or roast beef, I can't eat stuff cold that is really supposed to be hot. I just can't do it.
All right, I gotcha. Let me get some calls on the line. I have Will, who works at a school on the main line. Hi, Will. You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
I'm a teacher, and I have, you know, have to monitor the lunchroom every day as part of my schedule, and it's just amazing the main line lunches that arrive. Everything is, you know, Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, and if I had a dollar for every unopened package of baby carrots that I've seen thrown away,
carrots,
yes.
It's wow!
Thrown right away. I can't imagine that there's very much lunch debt going on in our district.
It's dramatically different than my growing up. The there were kids who, I mean, you talk about, so the Otis Spunkmeyer, Linden's chocolate chip cookies, and those super dry brownies that I loved, and all that stuff, and kids would just live on that.
The Linden,
and also vending machines with soda in it. You don't see that, right? Or did they even have those?
Well,
anymore?
We didn't have those in grade school.
No,
we had them in high school.
They're all gone, right? Yeah, they are.
So, at the school you have there, is there like a wine cellar, or what do they have?
No, I'm shocked that there isn't some sort of a juice cellar,
right? Juice bar,
the sommelier,
right? Yeah.
No, but you know what? Yeah, they're throwing away those full package carrots. I actually saw this story out of Australia. There's a Melbourne's girl college has removed all the trash cans from their premises. And told students that they have to take home whatever garbage they have for the day.
No.
And they said they hope that this will encourage everyone, students and staff alike, to reduce their waste by bringing less waste to school and in doing so create less waste at home. Because the school had spent $13,000 removing over 35,000 cubic feet of trash last year, and they were looking for ways to reduce the amount of waste they produce. So they're encouraging people to bring...
Yeah.
You know, reusable Tupperware things like that.
Vegemite is heavy.
Yeah.
Is that Melbourne, Florida, or Australia?
It's Australia.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I believe so.
Make sure you get on the right flight.
I thought it was. I don't know. I have to look more deeply.
What are all these kangaroos doing in Florida?
Let me see. I'm going to go to Dave. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston.
He's trying to be Gary. What's up, Dave?
I went to Catholic grade school, so you had no choice but to buy your lunch.
Yep.
But then I went to public high school, and we had a progressive principal who experimented with open campus. And the food at the high school was absolute garbage.
Like what?
We were I mean, rubber hamburgers,
yeah.
You know, chewy hot dogs, 4-day-old peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that kind of junk. And so we would walk off campus and go to the Arby's. I went to Cheltenham, so the Arby's was down on Glenside Avenue.
Yeah.
And right next to that was a 7-Eleven.
Wow.
And we would go to the 7-Eleven and get the big Slurpees, pour a third of them out, refill it with vodka, take it back to school.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. You'd be getting hammered in high school.
Wow.
How old are you?
I'm 61.
Wow. Okay, so you're getting hammered in class. Was everyone doing this?
Not everyone, but a good number of us.
I can't say that that didn't happen at my school, too.
The bringing in of the vodka?
Not to school, but
okay.
You could leave and have a little bit before you came back.
Oh, yeah. All right.
If you wanted to.
Yeah. Sometimes, okay. Sometimes I'd sneak off campus and eat my pickles.
You daredevil.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But yeah, Dave, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's for the deviants in the school, your opportunity to leave campus at some point also meant to deviant behavior from time to time while school.
So they limit that? Then now most schools will not allow you to leave campus, I assume, in this day of heightened security and awareness.
Yeah.
Right?
And you're not allowed to bring vodka back on a campus anymore, yeah.
You're supposed to buy it from the school store, right?
Exactly, yeah. No, when we were seniors...
Do you have any Kettle One?
Right. When we were seniors, we were allowed to go, Preston, just like you were. But the rebels who were juniors would also try to sneak out, and the place that we would go was Pizza Hut. But you would have to, you'd have to be fast, because we only had so much time to get back to a campus before you get caught.
Let me go to Michaela. Hi, Michaela. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all right. Michaela, what's up?
So I went to Archbishop Ryan. I graduated in 97, so I'm talking 20, 25 years ago. Everybody loved the chicken sandwiches, and it was just like a plain chicken patty on a roll with like shredded lettuce. But they used to put out this giant like stainless steel mixing bowl of mayo, like that really cheap eggy mayo. And everybody would just dip into the giant mixing bowl, and it would just have like the lettuce from the sandwiches and like four different like used plastic spoons, and nobody cared. They just loved the chicken.
Right?
Sandwich.
Yeah, communal condiments like that. It's pretty horrifying.
It's just the way
that
it was.
Something like we loved it, but looking back, I'm like, oh my. I doubt they do that anymore. But
well, the whole notion of hamburgers made in hot water. Which is, you know, they boil the burgers, basically. That's how, you know, they get these sort of meat-like, little bit of cardboard wood pulp in the hamburger patties, and those are the ones they'd serve you.
Yeah, I know we're not talking about college now, but you should check out the college cafeterias these days.
They're solid, aren't they?
Solid.
Good choices.
And when I went to school, it was fine.
What do you pay for a meal plan these days?
I'm not really even sure, but, like, at the very least, they at least had, like, like cereal. So if you didn't like what they had, you could go make, you know, a couple of bowls of cereal for lunch or whatever. Or, you know, there's always a fallback plan. Now they have like smoothie bars. And I mean, it's pretty insane.
So my son starts at going to Monco today. Today's his first day. The thing he is most excited about is they also teach massage therapy there. And the students do free, apparently. Yeah. They offer free massages.
I know the guy who runs
it. Dude, he's really excited about that. Parker Lewis getting massages.
We had to go off campus to Madame Yang's.
Yeah, I know the guy who runs that program.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I'll tell him Parker's coming by for a massage.
If you're going to school, take a look at the things that you can take advantage of while you're there.
They have to learn.
Yeah.
You know, what about the sex therapy students?
For dental school, like it's a way to get free dentistry if you go and people have to learn how to work on teeth.
Yeah, I used to.
And it works out great.
A girl I used to date lived in North Jersey, and it was the same thing. It wasn't free massages, though, but it was like $20 massages, and you would just go to this massage institute.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you tip. I may be speaking out of turn. Maybe there's a.
Would you like a pickle?
There might be a nominal. A nominal charge. I have a pickle. That's all I
have. A pickle.
Yeah. Let me go to Josh. Hey, Josh, you're on the air. Good morning.
Preston, is this where you want to be when Jesus comes home?
What? I don't even know how to answer that. What's that from, Josh?
Joe Dirt.
Oh, wow. All right. Nice. Nary a day goes by when we're not quoting Joe Dirt.
What's up, Josh?
I wanted to confess something I still feel guilty about from
Please.
Time to time.
Okay.
10th grade year, right, we just got a new printer. It was pretty detailed, and
I decided to print both sides of a $20 bill and thought it was a good idea to tape them together with some, like, blue masking tape. And so I took it to school, and I showed it to one of my friends, and he took it out of my hands and went up to go get some cookies from the line, because we had the best sugar cookies. And he paid with a fake $20 bill, and about 5 minutes later, you know, got his change, everything. About 5 minutes later, the lunch lady came back to us, and she said, "I think this is fake, but you're not in trouble." She gave us the full amount back, more change for the $20 bill, plus another two cookies.
Wow.
Yeah.
And why was she so kind?
And this is where I live, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Later on after school lunch.
Don't feel guilty about it, but...
Well, listen.
Confess my sins.
Okay.
Well, as long as you didn't go into full-time counterfeiting,
right?
I think your little cookie incident's not that bad.
Do we give him absolution for that? For that confession? Is he okay?
Thank you. I needed that.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
Speaking of absolution, real quick, because I just saw a text come over. I did not go to private school. I went to Catholic school, and there is a big difference between Catholic school and private school. Yes. Catholic school is not for rich people, okay? So the guy, he's like, "Oh, you're rich. You probably had gourmet." No, I went to Cardinal O'Hara High School. My mom worked for the post office. My dad was a truck driver. I did not, you know, have a privileged
They got to pay for you to go there, right?
But it's not private. Private, like, is
seen as more prestigious than a Catholic school.
Yeah, so, Case, I always saw them as one and the same, as a public school guy. So,
I used to have to sneak into my school because they wouldn't let me. I was from the other side of the tracks. So I had holes in my shoes, fingerless gloves. Yeah. And the teacher would always go, "You back there, where are you from?"
Yeah, but just, Casey, you got gourmet food every day, rich boy.
Yeah. I'm reading that text. I'm like, so there's a common
Today we're having cheese and crackers.
there is a big time difference between just the Catholic school and a private school. Okay. Big time.
Is there a big money difference?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking like a private school, you're talking, you know, 20, 30, 40 grand a year to
and
go
a Catholic
to a private
school,
school.
18 grand.
18 grand max.
18, 28 grand.
Yeah. Here's a definition. It says private schools just cost more than Catholic schools. Most private schools have smaller class sizes and teachers have more time with students. In many cases, private schools offer IBAP gifted or international exchange programs, although there are also Catholic schools offering these courses and programs.
I mean, you still have to pay for it, in addition to the taxes that you pay.
You don't need to be embarrassed that you were rich.
Rich boy.
That's right.
Gourmet food.
Right.
You were the Luke Perry.
Uh-huh.
You were the Dylan of...
Yeah. And by the way, my
pulling
dad...
Pulling up in your Porsche.
My dad made our sandwiches because my mom had to leave for work early. So my dad was the one who he did all of the lunches for.
Right.
Wow. As long as I can remember. Yeah.
The butler wouldn't take care
of it? No, the butler. He was only there to powder our asses.
Jeez, would you prepare the sandwiches for the children?
All right, Dr. Mike's on the line. He says that there is a medical side to all of this lunch discussion. So let's go to Dr. Mike Seregliano from Fox 29 and Penn Medicine. Hey, Dr. Mike.
You know, whenever I hear these stories about the tuna fish, and remember when ketchup was considered a vegetable? Remember that?
Yeah. It's a food group.
We're missing the point here. No one realizes how important nutrition is more than me, because I see adults that have had not good nutrition early on, and then I have to deal with the ravages of poor health. And so, you know, we joke about this, but there's a point here. If we're going to have a nation that competes against all the other countries, and there's a lot of competition out there for technology and things, we have to have people that are smart. How do you get people smart? You have them in school, and you have them fed well so that they can work harder, think better. And I don't know what the problem is in talking about private schools and everything. We're a wealthy nation, and I don't understand why we don't treat our young people the way they need to be, you know, in terms of giving them the tools to improve their lives, improve their health, and make it a better country. I just don't get it.
I don't understand why they're rushing these kids through lunch. I don't know why they're not giving them enough time. I'm not saying they need an hour to sit there and cause trouble in the cafeteria, but I'm telling you, I talk to parents all the time in our district. The kids are coming home starving because they don't have enough time to eat their lunch.
How long is a lunch? How long is their lunch, exactly, quote-unquote, hour?
I don't know exactly.
Well, I was told we got like an hour.
But Casey's right about having to wait in line and get everything and then be able to sit down.
Right. What about curbside pickup?
Yeah, so I mean, if the kids that are bringing their lunch have way more time to sit down and eat their lunch than the kids that are buying their lunch. So you know, sort of armed with this knowledge, you know, I as a parent have to do a better job of like preparing, you know, my kids their meals so that they don't have to waste. Because it's really bad at my kid's school. It's one cashier, and you're talking about a few hundred kids that are going through line.
Got a solution for you?
Yeah.
Give your daughter some money. Have her call Caviar when she's in class just before she goes to lunch and drop the food off there. I bet you know there are some kids like Spicoli in Fast Times who are getting the food delivered to the school.
Yeah. Wouldn't this be our time?
Right. But Dr. Mikey, they need time to eat, right?
Well, it's funny you say that because my son, who just started middle school on Monday, told me he had 10 minutes to eat because exactly that. He was in line. The line was so long, he had 10 minutes to eat lunch.
Yep. Yeah. That's bull crap.
I mean, look, I haven't had a real lunch since 1993, but that's my own choice. And that's, I'm an adult.
No, I know what you have during the day. You have frozen blueberries. I've heard what you eat.
I'm like a roach. I will find a calorie somewhere in the least expected place. But the bottom line is that we've got to find a way and emphasize the fact that our kids' health, not to sound,
preachy.
Like preachy, but the bottom line is that these are our future, and this is the future of our country. And when it comes to resources, this should be our primary focus, education, because if you don't have kids that are fed right and being able to go to school and learn in an efficient way at their best levels, then we're doomed.
Well, I'll tell you something, at least on a basic level.
I knew you were going to play that.
Little Whitney never heard. The one thing you do have to do is to make sure they have enough time to sit there, ingest, let things settle before they go back to school. If they're getting 10 minutes or if they're running by and they're frisbeeing a burger patty into their mouth as they run to, that's not going to help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's,
but
there's
Steve, if you go to a private school like Casey did, they'll chew the food out first.
Yeah, like a mama bird. Yeah,
so they get
the digestion out of the way.
My son has delicate mandibles.
that's been done with kings. They get their food chewed before they get poisoned.
Right. All right.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Hey, love you.
We'll see you a little bit later. Okay. Yeah. Well, interesting. Yeah, you should. I agree. They need more time to get that.
I always remember having a lot of time, Preston, sitting there, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. We had plenty of time.
We could do all sorts of horrific things.
Yeah, in fact, they usually ended up eating and then, like, going outside for a while because you could also kind of wander around a little bit at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Get some vodka.
get some vodka in your big gulp.
Bong hits.
Yeah, some bong hits. Visit the local prostitutes.
We do need to take a break.
Run weapons across the border.
We're going to go live. V-File on the way.
What's new? Glad you asked. Five Finger Death Punch. You just turned and walked away. How you turn me inside out. Blue Stones. Now I'm shaking off the rush. Disturbed.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. As we've said many times, we'll continue to say Preston's out today, feeling under the weather. Hopefully we'll be back tomorrow. We're doing an enhanced best of, playing some of your favorite bits. And Casey, and a little bit, we will be going on with Fox. But for now, what do we have next up in the chamber?
I think we have to apologize for this next one. This is all about Baby Shark and other annoying kid songs.
Oh, yeah. Earworms.
There you go.
I'm kind of glad that I don't have babies or toddlers right now because I don't have to sing Baby Shark.
Oh, my God. What is it with this song?
Oh, my God. I love it.
You love it?
I love it.
Really?
Yes. Shark, baby shark,
baby shark, Last week, it broke into the Billboard Hot 100.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah. I mean, it joined, like, you know, Ariana Grande and, you know, Post Malone and all these big hit records.
It's not even that
Wait
new.
A second, this is Post Malone?
Yeah, no, this isn't it's not a new song.
No, it's been around for a long time.
No, but it has taken off as of late.
So yeah, that's what I was going to ask. My ex-wife would sing this song to my son when he was a baby, and my son is 12 now. So she knew it from her childhood.
Okay.
And she picked it up, I think, in camp. Like, it was a summer camp song that you would sing with counselors and stuff like that.
I could see that.
It's like Poison Ivy.
It's not at all like Poison Ivy. So I'm wondering why it all of a sudden has become as popular as
okay.
it is.
Well, it's the current, that version is by, I guess, a group called Pink Fong, or it's a person, I'm not really sure. It's number 32 on the charts.
32 on the charts, Baby Shark.
It has racked up 2.2 billion views on YouTube. And
this makes Psy look like Mozart.
BuzzFeed asked some experts why the song resonates with kids and adults. The science behind why Baby Shark is such a, you can't get it out of your head.
Is there a backward masked message in this?
There might. I don't know if they've done that
yet. Kill your parents.
Yeah.
Kill your parents. Kill your parents.
So with these things, there's sometimes a phonic thing that just appeals to us.
Yes.
Is that what they're saying there is?
Well, there's several reasons, and the science was done. BuzzFeed went and asked experts
okay.
about why this particular song would catch the way that it did. And so they
catch sharks. I get it.
They mentioned several sources, one of them being Beatrice Ilari, who is an associate professor at the University of Southern California's Thornton School of Music.
Thornton.
Who has extensively studied children's music. She says the song, number one, it's repetitive. The song has a simple melody that is not only catchy, but is also easy to sing and memorize. While simplicity makes sense for kids who have a limited vocabulary and feed off of repetition, it is also a key element of why adults find themselves mindlessly humming the song. Studies show that catchy tunes for kids can elicit intense pleasure in the brain's dopamine. No, it's dopamine, but dopaminergic system.
Yeah,
yeah, the dopaminergic system.
I love this show.
Where feelings of you're thinking of propofol.
Propofol, that's yeah. right. Same thing.
This
yeah.
is dopamine.
So,
which your body produces naturally.
So the repetition and hearing this song repeated will cause the body to produce this.
Yes, the dopaminergic system yeah. is where feelings of pleasure, satisfaction, and reward are rooted.
So it's creating a good feeling.
Yes.
I could see that, though. I mean, especially this version. Like, their mm-hmm. little voices are uh-huh. so cute.
Well, the dances that you have, there's apparently an accompanying dance that you're
there is, and there's the one yeah. that I saw that I loved was a bunch of gymnasts, young girls doing a workout, an ab workout to it.
Yes.
And they go through the entire song.
And you said to me, it would kill a normal human being.
Oh, my God. I would die. I'm like, my dad!
Doing these abs.
These little bastards.
Research has shown that the dopaminergic system works in concert with the superior temporal gyrus.
I thought so.
A region that is involved in storing information about all the sound relationships a person has been exposed to.
It's next to the sup dog.
What's up, dog?
What's up?
Music they listen to while growing up, music their parents listen to, music their peers at school listen to. So it reminds you of these pleasurable days, these memories. These sound relationships offer predictions of what a person will find pleasurable and cause a release of dopamine.
So you're saying the same thing that's it's connected to the same pleasure some person might get when they put on a submissive mask and get in a box.
Or have an orgasm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
same thing. Maybe I took it a little too far.
Yep.
A little far. All right. Who's the original creator of this song? Is the band that you mentioned?
No. That's what we're talking about. It's years and years old.
Pink Fong is the current.
Oh, all right.
I'm
okay.
not sure who did the original.
Pink Fong.
There's more science.
All right.
It talks about family and animals. The second element is called a compositional device. Common in children's songs, Baby Shark begins by introducing the main characters of the story. Baby Shark, then Mommy Shark, then Daddy Shark, Grandma Shark, and Grandpa Shark.
Over the course of 11 minutes.
Which are all familiar templates for a child. The repetition of each family member four times in the same melody with just the relative substitution further embeds the songs in kids' minds, feeding into both their love of storytelling and creating familiarity with the characters.
Huh? So you got...
They really cut this into pieces.
Yeah. Baby Shark, Mommy Shark, Daddy Shark, Grandpa Shark.
Side Action Shark.
Side Action Shark. Weird Uncle Shark, right? Yeah.
So exactly. They got the whole...
That's all.
That was good.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I was going somewhere, and then
Michael jumped in.
Fizzled out. Yeah.
Listen, it's upbeat is another reason. The increasing tempo is especially important as a storytelling mechanism for kids. Ilari said there is a sense of action through the use of dynamics or loudness and tempo.
Of course.
The song becomes faster at the point of the song when the lyrics say, run away, do-do-do-do-do. To signal the small fish are running away and then slower to signal safe at last. Never made it to the end of the song. I don't know what it does.
You're safe from the sharks.
Oh, safe
Wait
at
a second.
Last.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so
you run away and then you're safe at last.
So this entire extended family of sharks we're led to believe is attacking you?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's the fish.
Should we listen to the whole thing?
Yeah.
I'll keep it playing.
Okay.
So it speeds up at some point, Kathy?
Yeah, it gets like a little bit faster.
Okay.
Grandma Shark.
The upbeat tempo practically pushes kids to move and dance, and that's another reason why.
Right.
Kids love it. They dance to it. Kids love to dance.
Now I dance to it.
Yeah. So here's Grandpa Shark. Let's go hunt. Oh.
Let's kill humans. Let's kill humans.
Let's go hunt. Let's go hunt.
Let's go hunt. And now it's picking up. Okay. Run away. We're all going to die. It's the end.
Is the end because you've been attacked and killed?
No, they're safe.
So it changes narratives. At the beginning, it's talking about this family of sharks, and then, hey, let's go hunt.
Right? Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it changes to the prey's perspective of, we need to get the hell out of here now.
There's... All right, Chiefy, I'll get this shark to do to do do. What it'll cost you to do to do to do do. It's not like traipsing down to the pond for bluegills or tommycod do 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 do.
So there's a whole narrative behind it. I want us to do the ad
workout and see how far we can get.
Oh dear God!
I didn't realize that because you're led to believe, okay, this is a wonderful song about the extended family of sharks. So you realize that they're preying upon humans who are in mortal danger.
It's not humans, it's fish.
They show kids running away from the sharks.
Kids, they're singing the song. The kids are playing the part.
So how do the fish get away?
How do they run?
They're saying run away.
Where's the logic?
Fish don't run, Kathy.
They're teaching kids about sharks.
They're telling them to stay out of water. Sharks are going to kill you.
By the way, the origin of the Wikipedia, Baby Shark started as a campfire song. So there you go. That's perfect for camp counselors and stuff, Nick, like you were saying, where each member of a family of sharks is introduced with different hand motions, different versions of the song have the sharks hunting fish, eating a sailor. Or killing people who then go to heaven.
Oh, jeez.
Right. Ripping them apart. Tear them apart. Rip them apart. Suck their blood. Make them die.
So the dance version
of
Baby Shark was popularized online in 2007. This is the German version.
Kills them all. Murders them all.
YouTube video named Kleiner High.
Yes, I will make a song that will torture parents around the world. Since they discontinued my medical experiments, I have nowhere to channel my anger. So I shall create the most devious children's song ever.
Published by Alexandra Mueller. Is this the German version? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Baby high. Dim, dim.
Oh, much more ominous.
Okay. More along the lines of...
Baby Shark!
It's got more of the Jaws theme. You know, it's got that.
No, German sharks aren't screwing around.
Yeah. Kleiner High. So you hear him say that. That's the name of it.
Show me your papers.
Alexandra, it was published by Alexandra Mueller, who is also known by her stage name, Lemuel.
Yes, daughter of Goebbels.
Is set to the theme of Jaws and tells the story of the baby shark who grows up and eats a swimmer. The video gained popularity shortly after, and Lemuel was offered a record deal by the label EMI, which published the song accompanied by disco beats on May 30, 2008. The single peaked at place 25 on the German charts.
Oh, it did better than the American version.
And actually went up to 21 on the Austrian charts.
Did Hasselhoff ever record this?
That's a good question. Based on the single and the original video, the YouTube community created a popular music video, which is a typical example of crowdsourcing. The German version of the song remains popular among German youth groups, and multiple variations have been published since it first gained popularity in 2007.
It's so funny how clearly you can tell the more somber, serious German tone to the song. Baby Shark.
Mm-hmm.
We're not screwing around, says sharks are coming after you.
By the way, it's not just a song. Baby Shark capitalizes on how children consume content through audio and video because Baby Shark embodies the multimodality aspect of children's musical experiences.
This is a multimodality.
In our contemporary world, the video aspect is very important, too, it says. And that helps that the video has high production values, bright colors, seamless human green screen action, and toddler-friendly dance moves that make the video a must-replay.
All right, outside of Baby Shark, which you said you weren't subjected to, what was the most annoying kid song during the course of your
childhood of my children,
your children? I don't know if you can remember back to your childhood, because we tended to that we were target audiences for these songs then. But what as an adult drove you out of your mind?
We had the whole Barney I love you you love me thing had already kind of passed by the time my kids came around.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, Steve, I don't remember any.
Well, I think Dora was annoying though? Dora, because Dora,
Dora.
Yeah, but they would repeat things over and over and over again. And that's just how they would teach the kids.
Right. You know? I'm the map. I'm the map.
I'm the map. I'm the map. I'm the map. I'm the map.
I get it. You're the map.
Backpack. Backpack.
Backpack.
Backpack.
Lots of fun. Dildos in the pack.
Not dildos.
No.
No.
Dildos in the pack.
Yeah.
Dildos in the back. I don't remember.
I don't know what the lyrics are, but the chorus is na 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 Elmo's World.
Yeah,
that
was
one.
Na 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 na.
Yeah, and there's a
Elmo has his crayon, his goldfish too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that one is an earworm that'll stick in your brain for the rest of the day.
Hang on a second. I'm gonna go to let me go to Dustin. Hi, Dustin. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
I just want to comment on your Baby Shark song. My son at his school, they have a little different version. They do Baby Jesus, doo-doo, Baby Jesus, and then they do Papa Joseph and Mama Mary.
Dustin, in the song, does Baby Jesus kill a family of swimmers?
No, I don't believe he does.
Okay.
I don't think that's part of the song.
All right, because they would have to change that because he would not be preying upon swimmers.
Grandpa God, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Grandpa God, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I guess. All right, Dustin.
How far does that family, the family of man?
I'm remembering Caillou. I'm having, like, flashbacks and, like, terrible.
Are there songs?
It doesn't matter.
No,
he was talking about annoying.
Yeah.
And he was just a whiny little bitch.
Yeah.
Was there a song, though?
There is a song in the beginning. Yes, yeah, there's a song in the beginning. Yeah. Jace used to sing the whole thing.
If it's just an annoying cartoon, that's different.
Caillou.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Jeanette. Hi, Jeanette. Good morning.
Hi, I'm from Glen Alden area. We actually do this for marching band when I was in high school, but the ending was different.
Oh, okay. You did Baby Shark. You mean you guys performed it, or you just all used to sing it?
It was our warm-up when we had band camp.
Yep.
So the ending was shark attack and then lost a leg. And then calling 911.
So you do lost a leg, leg.
No, it's doo 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 doo.
Oh, doo doo doo.
Everything followed. It's doo doo.
How am I getting that from?
Okay.
Lost a leg. Doo 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 doo. Okay.
And then there was call 911, and then I think you ended up actually dying at the end of it. It was like CPR.
Wow. You guys carried it really.
Guys, me, dude.
Yeah.
Don't let me die this way. Wait.
Jeanette, how long ago was that?
This was, I was in marching band 2011 and 2012.
Okay.
And my sister is in marching band now, and I believe they still do it.
Wow.
Okay. The
I don't think I could put up with that.
The original version came out in 2007, or at least the German version
German
did.
Version.
So it has been around for
the
a
Reich
while.
The Reich version.
Let me see here. I'm going to go to, Maureen. Hi, Maureen. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Maureen?
So my niece sings a song that's pretty similar. It's called, I think it's called The Finger Song.
The Finger Song.
Terrible. So it's, daddy finger, where are you?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Here I am, how do you do? And it goes through daddy finger, mommy finger, sister finger, brother.
Middle finger.
Wifey's favorite finger.
Yeah. But when I can't sleep at night, it's so repetitive that I'll sing it in my head to try and make myself fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't help me fall asleep. That would keep me awake. Oh,
I never heard it sang with the finger, though.
Do you remember Baby?
You're doing Baby Shark.
No. Where is Thumpkin? Here I am.
I
can't say that.
I was just in Mommy.
Then I wasn't Dad.
Did I say that?
Watch song.
It's so dark. It's so dark. It is dark there. It is dark there.
Let me see. I will go to Kelly. She wants to stop. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Yes, I was literally singing that song, trying to fall asleep last night because my 2-year-old nephew demands it. And because his vocabulary isn't that great for Baby Shark, I kind of get up. Bashar, where it sounds like he's calling me a bitch all the time.
So he, as you sing this song, does he call you a bitch? Or as he's trying to sing it, he sounds like he's saying bitch.
And then the first time, the finger song, the first time he ran up to me and started saying daddy finger, I had to call my brother-in-law and say, what's going on?
Sing the finger song, bitch. That's a whole weird dynamic you got going on over there, Kelly.
We're a very loving family.
You're parallel. You're a bitch. Let me go.
Your finger smells.
Let me go over to Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
So I just wanted to call in and say the first time I actually heard this song was back during freshman orientation at Rowan University back in 2009.
Okay.
Shout out profs. So they were actually using this song to corral a bunch of, you know, hyperactive and loud 17, 18, 19-year-olds whenever we were changing parts of the orientation and going through different halls and sitting through different, you know, meetings and stuff. And everybody was being unruly. They would use this to kind of like get our attention. You know how a teacher does, where they just get totally silent and let everyone talk until.
And it worked?
You know, everyone's saying, yeah, it actually did. It would take a couple seconds, but then everybody, at first, they would join in the song. And then we started hearing it so many times over the day and a half orientation that by the end of it, we're just like, all right, you guys are treating us like toddlers.
All right, so wait a minute, Chris. So, like, the teacher would start singing it or someone in charge?
Well, so it was actually the, so they had kind of like other upperclassmen at Rowan, and they were actually the ones who, I guess, were like the tour guides, more or less.
Okay.
The day and a half orientation.
The tour guides.
Yeah, so whenever we were in large assemblies, they would use that to get everyone to quiet down.
That's kind of wild that you're dealing with college-age students who are being...
Yeah.
Mollified by the Baby Shark song.
That's interesting. Thanks, man. Now, Jessica thinks that this goes back even further. I'll go to her. Hi, Jessica. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Jessica?
So I grew up in Arizona, and I am 40 years old, and I was singing Baby Shark when I was in kindergarten.
In Arizona, landlocked.
That far back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, along with the song going peanut butter, and jelly. And it was how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song's been around for a long time.
How does it go?
Peanut butter, jelly. Jelly. I've forgotten the whole thing, but yeah, I've sang that since I was a kid.
Can you chuck in a Baby Shark too on it?
In fact, I remember hearing that at Hershey Park. They had it playing over the sound system there. Which we thought was fun, little thing.
Oh, that was super fun.
This is a good time.
Yep. See, all of my songs from childhood are like Bible songs. Yeah. You know, there's nothing fun like baby. We didn't think baby. Shark.
Christ, Christ.
God, there was. So my nickname in high school was Peabuds, and there was this guy, John Wetzel.
Son of a bitch.
Whenever he drank. No, he's all right. Yeah. But he would always go, Peabuds, peanut butter.
Did you ever hear that?
Peabuds, peanut butter. Thanks, John.
I think I like these type of songs because they're sort of like the jingles. Like, it's just that catchy song. It gets stuck in your head.
Yeah. Well, the successful ones are, as they say, earworms. You cannot stop humming them. Yeah,
Jace used to yell at me and tell me to stop singing. He never wanted. So we didn't, like, sit in the car and sing these songs together, and I would, like, have to hum them because he didn't want to listen to any of them. But this Apples and Banana song that Matt was talking about on line five, that was, like, one of my favorites, and I would always try to get him into it, and he'd be like, no, thanks.
Let me go to him real quick, then. Hi, Matt. Good morning.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Gadzooks.
Hey, bud. Gadzooks. So, Gadzooks, what, Apples and Bananas?
Yeah, man. I'm 21, so back when I was in, like, kindergarten, which I guess was 05, 04, around then, that was the big song. And if you ask any, you know, you just say Apples and Bananas, any kid from my generation, it triggers this old...
How does it go? How does it go, Matt? Screen.
The only part I can remember, I think it repeated, is I like to eat... Eat apples and bananas, and I think that just repeated.
Right, well, but then it changed. You would change it to apples and bananas. Like it was like
apples and bananas.
So you just play with the words.
You play with the words, yeah.
Apples and bananas,
bungles and bedingles,
anus and bananas.
All right,
Peel that anus.
I am not familiar with. There are a few people that are mentioning this, Steve. You're talking about songs that from your childhood. I'll go to Tracy. Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. What's up, Tracy?
Hey, I just wanted to add a song. My kids, when they were growing up, were into a group called The Wiggles.
Oh, we know The Wiggles well.
They were here in our studio.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll pull up a jingle they did for us here in a second. Go ahead, Tracy.
Excellent. Well, they used to sing a song called Fruit Salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salad.
Yeah.
Yummy, yummy.
Yeah.
And I would find myself, even, you know, because I would drop my kids off, you know, we would sing it in the car, and find myself at work, you know, walking around going, fruit salad, yummy, yummy.
Would you ever just
what are you singing?
Pull into a parking lot with a flask and listen to it. Fruit salad, man. Yeah. So good.
Here it is right here. Thank you.
Yummy, you've got yummy. It?
Yep. All right. Here, listen to this.
The Wiggles.
MMR 93.3.
Preston, Casey, Kathy, Nick, Marissa, and Steve.
MMR 93.3.
Preston loves to eat those scabs.
MMR 93.3.
They love to say, well, Gadzooks.
MMR 93.3.
Preston and Steve rock.
Preston and Steve, Preston and Steve, Preston and Steve rock.
Yeah.
That was cool. So when they added a girl to the lineup, I don't know whatever happened, if that show continued on or not.
I think it did.
Did it?
Murder-suicide.
Yeah. No. You know what? This the people that did the new version of the Shark song, apparently they have another song as well. Somebody sent me a link to it. I've never heard of it, but I sent it over to Marissa.
Baby Nautilus?
We would sing, actually, from SpongeBob, the campfire song.
Which is?
This is the C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song. C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song. If you sing it long and long, it's going on and on. C-A-M-P-F-I-R-E-S-O-N-G song.
All right.
That and the fun song. F is for stuff who do stuff. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for, nose picking, something, none of sand licking. Down in the deep blue sea.
I like that.
That one was a lot
What
of
about
fun.
The name... Game, right?
Oh, yeah. The name, yeah.
That was a classic.
Banana, Fana, Fo, Phantom.
I still love that.
Fo, Phantom.
Suck it.
That's not in it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marissa?
No.
Ballsack.
Skinamarinky, Dinky Dink get any of you guys?
Yeah.
Skinamarinky, Dinky Dink, Skinamarinky do. I love you.
I love you in the morning and in the afternoon. I love you in the evening and when underneath the moon. Yeah. Skinamarink. And it had hand motions, too.
That was the original theme song for the movie Philadelphia.
Oh.
But they thought tonally it didn't match.
From the Elephant Show.
Skinamarink?
Yeah, Skinamarinky, Dinky Dink, Skinamarinky.
From the Elephant Show? I don't remember the Elephant Show.
What the hell are you talking about?
Okay.
It was part of a larger show called Two Knuckles Deep, Preston.
Oh, that one sounds familiar. But,
do you want to hear the other song by these guys? So is it called the Beaver Song?
Okay. Yes.
The Beaver Song?
All right. There it is.
Beaver! Beaver hands and beaver teeth. Beaver run, beaver run. Let's all do the beaver call. Beaver.
You know what?
Beaver fun.
It's not as immediately catchy as like the shark song.
Yep.
The shark song, Baby Shark, is so repetitive so quickly.
Yep.
And I think for a kid, you need to be able to lock on to that. And this particular song requires too much listening before you figure out the repetition.
Apparently the Cub Scouts sing that song.
Okay. Here's
Beaver song?
No, yeah. Baby Shark Valentine's Day song.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do, Baby Shark.
It's a ballad.
Okay, this doesn't sound, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Did they mention Valentine's Day?
Mommy Shark, do-do-do-do-do, Mommy Shark, darling.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, come on.
Oh, so you just throw that in.
Though they have an Arbor Day version. Plant a tree.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Hold on, there's got to be something at the end.
Valentine's Day, do-do-do-do.
There you go.
Oh, and at the end they eat a man proposing to his wife in the surf.
Okay, all right.
Fiance.
Valentine's Day, do-do-do-do-do. Valentine's Day, do-do-do-do. Valentine's Day, do-do-do-do. Valentine's Day.
This is what they call the sophomore slump there, Preston.
Somebody says, hands down, the best kids musical music is from Yo Gabba Gabba. I just don't remember any exact songs from Yo Gabba Gabba. I remember watching that.
Yep.
Wait a second. What? This is not accurate. This shark has a mustache in the video.
hang on, let me go to Brenna. Hey, Brenna, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
So, as a kid, my name was Brianna, and nobody could pronounce it, so they would say banana. So, I always got sung to the bananas in pajamas are coming down the stairs over and over and over.
Was that a pre-existing song, or was it created for you specifically?
No, that's a whole show on bananas in pajamas.
Bananas in pajamas.
Yeah, that's just the theme song for it.
That's right. Yep. That was a show. I forgot about that.
By the way, the apples and bananas song would go through the vowels. It would teach the kids the different vowels, and you would change apple.
Preston, there was a Vivid movie called Banana in My Pajamas.
Shut up.
So it'd be Eeples and Beninis and then Eeples and Banini's and stuff.
Yes, yeah, okay. Yes.
Sure, that wasn't Dog Fart.
It's on Dog Fart.
Oh,
Dogfart.com. Banana in my pajamas.
Orange chip down the hall.
Hey, I got something for you, man.
Dog Fart.
Yeah, baby.
Dog Fart.
Yeah, baby. Look how I found my pajamas. It's a banana.
All right.
I wonder who's with us.
Well, anyhow, we have to break here because we got to get to our money giveaway and so forth. But I just wanted to break down why, scientifically, Baby Shark and songs of that ilk are so catchy and really latch on. And there's a bunch of scientific reasons behind that. And if you're just tuning in, we went through those. It is... Jumped onto the Billboard, which chart is it? It's number 32 on the Billboard Hot 100, Baby Shark.
Yeah, well, they should add that to a torture regimen. Right. You know, if they're looking to, instead of waterboarding, just do use that.
So if you're curious why, is because it helps, it releases dopamine in your brain for a number of different reasons, and that's why people like that song. All right, anyhow, we need to take a break. Let's come back in a moment. Stay with us.
Friday. The Preston and Steve Show broadcasts live from Philly Spring Training. Not so much X's and O's or pitching rotations. It's the gang celebrating the promise of spring and baseball. Things like Preston becoming a beer man or how Casey Boy got batting practice tips from Uncle Charlie. For MMR fans flocking south to Clearwater, meet up with the show after their broadcast at Frenchie's Tiki Pavilion in left field before the Bills take on Detroit. Tickets and info at Phillies.com. Can't make it to Florida? Hit up WMMR.com and enter to attend the home opener and a Hearst prize pack. Preston and Steve, live from Philly Spring Training. Sponsored by Hers, the ace snack of your pantry. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
All right, thanks, Kathy. We are waiting on Fox, our friends at Fox, to go live with them any second now. What are we looking at, Marissa? 15 seconds. They're so accurate on television, you know.
They are.
We can be fluid and relaxed and sloppy, which is what we excel at.
I could never work in TV.
No. Not a chance.
Do they know that Preston's out?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Would that be a surprise?
Well, sometimes we'll cut to them and
it's
a surprise anchor.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so we'll give it a few seconds and...
Oh, wow. We're on TV now.
just like TV. There's the music.
There it is. Okay, this is where we talk to Preston and Steve, and Preston is out. Steve, Casey, everybody there.
What's
he have? He has the flu.
He has the flu, the regular flu. So he's at home resting. Hopefully he'll be in tomorrow.
Fantastic. Yep. I'm sure you heard about this. United Airlines flight from Colorado to Newark, New Jersey was forced to divert after a passenger sneezed and everybody went nuts. It got so crazy on the plane, they had to divert. what are you seeing around the radio station and hearing from people?
Well, it's kind of weird. We're of a mind to not panic. And just remember, I was never a fan of just flying when none of this existed and someone was sneezing next to me. I had to realize that. I was in the doctor's office the other day and someone came in and sat right next to me in an empty room, an empty waiting room.
Come on.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I realized, well, you know what? It's not just because it's corona time. I would hate that any time. So you put it in perspective. I mean, I know people are hyper. You get the stink eye whenever anybody now sneezes.
Right.
But if you follow, as Dr. Mike has told us, proper protocol and take the precautions, you should be good. I think everyone needs to sort of tamp down on
But it's like, I would say at the station, it's half and half.
There's people
who are you know, freaking out a little bit. And
Kathy.
Listen, I'm on that side. I think Preston should stay home for the rest of the week because I don't want to get it. You know what I mean? And I don't think that if you're still contagious, you should not spread it around here. But then there are people who aren't as hypochondriac as myself.
Yeah, you're not hypochondriac. I think it's wise to see this, like these efforts to do the cleaning and all that stuff. But I also think you'd be careful.
Did you notice that there were 20,000 people at the Flyers game last night?
And you know, I have tickets for the Sixers game tonight.
Yeah.
And I think those tickets are probably going to go unused. And it's not because I don't think my wife will let me go. It's as simple as that. Like, I probably would go and maybe try and stay away from people.
Well, the good thing at like a Flyers game is the seats are a good 7 or 8 feet apart from each other. So you're not right jammed in there.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I just feel like if I sneeze, I have to explain myself. Like, oh, I'm sorry, that was just allergies.
Yes, right. Yes. Right. It'd be wise to go around with your medical records pinned to your chest.
You know, a friend of mine works at Chop, and she takes her scrubs off that has Chop written on it when she leaves work because she said she feels like people are like walking away from her because she works there.
I'll tell you one thing. Wow. I do. It used to be sort of fun for me when I'd pass a place that had one of those medical refuse boxes outside. I'd peek inside and see who was in it. I don't do it anymore.
You can't do it anymore. People look at you weird.
I don't want to take the risk.
Listen, are we all going to die? No. But is there a reason to have some cautious behavior and to maybe not get on a plane if you're uncomfortable doing so?
I think
that's fine. And people in planes are a little more sensitive to people, you know, maybe even at a Flyers game or a Sixers game. So I'm a little nervous about flying to Clearwater tomorrow. However, I'm still going to go. I think it's a good message to put out there that we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And I think it's good to travel because it shows other people that you're going to make it and you're going to be back.
And by the way,
you don't have to go through what I'm going through.
What's going on? What do you have going?
Well, I'm old and I'm at risk.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, we can get an apartment together. I'm old too.
And we'll hunker down. I think Mike wants to be quarantined.
Yes.
Pick me.
We'll just round up old people and put them in internment camps.
The ideal situation is that Kathy and I get sick when we're in Florida and we're not allowed to come back. We're not allowed to fly on Sunday.
Imagine that, being stranded in Florida.
Yeah.
Alex, the other day, I chewed some peppermint gum. And you know, sometimes when you start like chewing gum right in the very beginning, it kind of makes you sneeze.
Yeah.
And I did that. So I didn't even have allergies. I wasn't sick. I didn't have allergies.
Peppermint.
I was just chewing peppermint gum and I sneezed.
When I walk out in the sun for some reason, I sneeze once or twice. And in the parking lot.
Quarantine, Casey. Right now.
Corona.
It's unbelievable.
Corona, Casey.
Yes.
Yep.
What?
Thank you, guys. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Same to you.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Hey, is sneezing part of the symptoms of corona?
Well, it's part of regular flu as well, which is contagious. And so those things.
They keep saying the dry cough is like...
That's one of the things.
Yeah.
So do we want to talk about Clearwater at all right now, or do we want to save that for later?
We were hoping that we'd get Preston on, but right now, the way things are going to go, Nick, we might as well, because we're going to follow through with it. But the decision was made because Preston is coming towards the end of his bout, And we're not quite sure about his contagious level. Dr. Mike is monitoring. Of course, Dr. Mike is the best doctor in the world. So he's making sure that we're all up to speed. We all have gotten on the Tamiflu to make sure, you know, that's a preventative measure. But the decision was made that we have to practice what we preach, and we can't, you know, sit Preston in an airplane shoulder to shoulder with strangers.
Yeah. Plus, you know,
and it's just a regular flu. So
it wears you out, too.
It does wear you out. So what we're going to do is Preston, myself, and Casey will stay here. And our correspondents, our sports correspondents, Nick, Kathy, and Marissa, are going to head down. And we're going to get those interviews and do that because they're taking precautions as well.
The Phillies and Major Phillies, League Baseball.
Everybody's taking precautions, which, as you said, and correctly so, Nick, during our conversation with Mike and Alex, it's good. You know, for at least a little span of time while we're in the throes of this, take the precautions. Why not? If we can head this off at least at some level, that's great. It's going to spread out. It's going to, you know, the corona is going to, it'll branch out. You'll have those more infections. You'll have more people getting it. However, that said, if you can, you know, control that as best as possible, that's good. So you guys will go down. We'll let you get it.
No. Yeah, yeah. We got team one and team two.
And so what we'll do is we'll be throwing to you out down there, and you'll get the and who do we have, by the way, lined up for interviews?
We have some really good interviews lined up, which was the other reason that we wanted to go through with this. We made these plans months ago, and we wanted to do it in the first place. I'm really sad that you guys can't join us because it was fun the last couple of years. But we're going to have Reese Hoskins on. We've had him on every year, and Reese is great. We're going to have Joe Girardi. He came to Camp Out for Hunger this year, and I'm really excited to speak with him again. He's just an interesting guy. I'm glad he's the Phil's manager now. For the first time, we're gonna have Bryce Harper.
We didn't get him last year, of course.
No, and he was very limited in the amount of interviews he could do last year, so we're gonna get to meet and chat with Bryce Harper, which would be really cool on Friday morning.
Do you guys have to be
actually where we're gonna be up in the outfield, and the interviewees will be on the pitcher's mound.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys will be closer here in Bala than we will in Clearwater.
So what's gonna happen is, Nick, and we've armed you both with semaphore flags,
right?
So you can message them your questions. No, believe it or not, 6 to 8 feet.
Yeah.
It's outside anyway.
Right.
And again, these are highly paid athletes who are supposed to deliver and do the. Even LeBron James, who was saying, I'm not going to play to an empty, arena, is saying, hey, for a couple of weeks, if we do it, that's fine. So,
and one
just
more
taking a precaution.
I want to mention that Zach Wheeler is going to be on the show as well. Zach was the big free agent acquisition in the offseason. So, three players and manager Girardi, which would be cool. And then, you guys will obviously be a part of the conversation up here, and it'll be a work in progress. We've never done this type of a show before, but it'll be fun.
Kathy drew a very valid comparison when she goes and does Kathy's cuts.
Yes.
You know, we do check ins, and that'll be the deal. So, that'll be Friday's show.
And
it's going to be all about it'll be all about the sights and sounds of a spring training and the whole thing, and getting excited for the new season, just in a little bit a safer way and a better way to allow Preston to fully recuperate.
In case, by the way, this is according to the CDC's website, the symptoms for coronavirus are fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath.
So no sneezing. So if you see somebody sneeze,
you're good.
You're good.
Relax.
They have the flu.
Relax. Honestly, that's just the regular flu.
You just had the regular flu, which right now has killed far more people.
Oh, yeah. And I also need to know, and maybe this isn't time to discuss this, what's the difference between flu A and flu B?
It's just different strains.
Do you honestly think we should be assessing and giving information?
I think you should.
I read about it. It's a different strain. And
it's a different letter. I know that.
And it's the strain that the flu shot is not protecting against. So it did protect against some flus, but not influenza B, which is what Preston got.
Believe it or not, this year it was, again, it's always sort of a gamble.
Yeah.
This year it was 45% accurate against the flu. Last year, I think it was something like 29%.
Okay.
So this year, the flu shot again, but it doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu. But they always recommend that you do get the flu shot. You know, just as especially in those cases that we know now are the most susceptible to both the regular flu and to the coronavirus. If you're in that 80 or that 70 and above, even if you're 60 and above with extenuating circumstances, if you have medical conditions, if your immunity is low, if you've had this poor gentleman who is 69 and passed away, he had a long history of heart issues.
Yeah.
So that's something where you have to be cautious. So But otherwise, most people who get it, 90%, 85 to 90% of people who do get the coronavirus will have mild flu-like symptoms and may not even know they have it. And that's kind of the issue with knowing just how many people have it and how many people have the regular flu, because the symptoms in for most people will be fairly similar.
There we go.
Let's move on to the bizarre file.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by HERS, pitchers and catchers, infielders and outfielders, Kathy, Nick, Marissa, potato chippers and cheese curlers, spring training, keep it Philly, Philly, HERS, official sponsor of the Philadelphia Phillies.
A Florida man decided to park his car in his kitchen in order to protect it from Hurricane Dorian.
I did see this.
It's a smart car.
Yes.
So it's one of those tiny cars. But Patrick Eldridge revealed that in addition to Protectus to... Oh, Jesus.
Protectus is the god of cars.
No, it's to protect his car.
I am Protectus.
These typos are going to freaking kill me. To protect...
I shall protect your smart car, for I am Protectus. Fear not the hurricane.
To protect his car from blowing away, he wanted to prove to his wife...
That he was an idiot.
Hail Protectus, Protectus of light. Protectus, protect my car tonight.
I am Protectus.
I like that little prayer.
Did you like that?
I just made that up.
I liked that a lot.
I couldn't remember it if I tried. So anyhow, he wanted to prove to his wife that he could actually fit it in the kitchen. Now, Jessica, her car, his wife was already parked in their garage.
She was parked in the living room.
And to avoid cleaning their garage out, Patrick decided to park it in the house. Jessica said, I said there was no way he could. He said that he could, so he opened the double doors and had it in. I was amazed that it could fit, and he had it in with absolutely no problems. With the car in the kitchen, Jessica had to move around it to cook and serve dinner. She said, I'm hoping that he will put it out pretty soon once the wind dies down. There is room, and it's not in the way, but my dogs are confused by it, she said.
What do you think the weight of an average smart car, like the one he has, which is, you know, one of those really tiny ones?
Under 2,000 pounds,
that's
maybe?
What I was thinking, yeah.
Something like that. They're so tiny. Who knows? A man who police say pretended to be unconscious because he was behind on his rent found this was not likely the best way to avoid his landlord. The owner of the apartment called police when he found his tenant, 28-year-old Ted Zarens, unresponsive in the apartment. So he called for assistance, and police officer Curtis Pickard responded to the call along with Maine State Trooper. When police arrived, they found Zarens conscious and responsive and not in need of medical assistance. He was essentially playing dead, so he didn't have to pay his rent.
That's a good method.
The officers discovered there was...
I can't pay. I'm dead.
It was an outstanding warrant for Zarens, who had allegedly failed to appear in court regard to a threatening charge. A notorious magpie whose habit of swooping on passersby in Sydney, Australia, led to dozens of complaints, was shot dead, prompting an outcry from magpie lovers. The local council defended the shooting, saying the particularly aggressive bird was not taken lightly. The complaints about him was not taken lightly, and the decision wasn't either. The magpie had attacked people, sending some to the hospital.
Well, that's... That's a little more aggressive.
Yeah, the Australian magpie is a different species to the European bird, which...
Of course it is. You can probably pick up cars.
With which it shares its name. During mating season, the Australian magpie can become aggressive and attack humans crossing its territory. But the species is protected by law and can only be dealt with by local authorities. The magpie was shot by the council after more than 40 complaints. One resident suffered a heart attack following an attack. And a council spokesperson said this particular bird was very aggressive and uncharacteristically territorial and tried to attack people's faces, going so far as to deliberately try to swoop underneath cyclists' helmets. It was nicknamed the Windsor Road Monster after carrying out such attacks over several years. And apparently one user wrote, same magpie, swooped three times and hit right side of head and scratched my face.
He started by coming in at eyeball level straight on, and I've never known a more aggressive magpie. So they tried to catch it, but they ended up shooting it.
I've never known a more aggressive magpie. I've been riding my bike down the street for 25 years, and I've never seen a more aggressive magpie.
They had had it. All right, and then we'll do one last story, and this is funny. I saw the pictures of it. A manatee in St. Lucie County, Florida, took advantage of the rising waters due to Hurricane Dorian to grab a nice meal. Corinne Hogan had posted video to her Facebook page of the gentle giant swimming up into her backyard and eating grass.
Wow.
She said, the tide is so high, we actually have a manatee swimming in our yard right now.
I love those things.
I do too. They're beautiful. Hogan said in the video, that is actually in our yard. Wow, she's a big girl.
I killed it.
Okay. Hogan said,
I beat it to death with a lawn chair.
That the high tide was up about 4 feet in Palm City after the manatee filled up on grass. So the animal swam back in to Hidden River and took off.
My wife took a diving trip one time with the whole express purpose to go down and swim with the manatee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, and loved it. They're just amazing.
That's cool. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you now. We'll be back in a moment.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, thanks, Kathy. As we want to do when Preston is out, or it's not quite the show, we do what we call enhanced best of. So we have an interview coming up with one of our favorite people, Apatarbi Bajababu.
That's exactly it. Akbar Bajamiamila.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, thank God you can say it. But I remember this interview being really good, and he was really engaging. So enjoy. Our next guest is back in our studio and is back in town and has a new book out. And you know him from American Ninja Warrior, maybe his years in the NFL, or both possibly. Please welcome Akbar Bajabiamila to
you. Thank you, guys. I'm so happy to be back here in Philadelphia. The good thing is I didn't embarrass myself this time around.
That's what I heard. Yeah. So to recap, last time, I think it was the last time you were in town. You guys
actually... This is the day last year.
Okay,
you
kidding?
Yeah,
you're at the Phils game.
Yeah,
you throw out the first pitch, and you had a rough one.
Yeah, I had a rough one. Yep. Only a couple of people saw it though, which is good. why are you guys playing this thing?
Just to reminisce a little bit.
I mean, can we get a replay on it? Because I think the best part of this that people forget in this whole thing is they didn't look at my leg. I mean, look at the leg go up. I mean, you could see the leg go up, and there was a nice kick.
Oh, yep.
And Dennis Eckersley actually called me and said, like, that was a really good, like, Eckersley impression.
Well, okay. Everything was there in presentation.
Yes.
Execution is where it fell down.
Yeah, it did. Look, I'm not a pitcher, okay? All right, give me a break. Like... I was a defensive lineman, okay?
It looks like you were trying to really throw it, fire it
okay,
in there.
Okay, so here's the truth.
Uh-huh.
The night before, I saw... President Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I saw President George W. Bush throw out a first pitch. And I just thought to myself, man, they look like old men throwing it. Just kind of lobbing it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's not me. I have a little bit more pride. I'm a former professional athlete. And inside, there's still that thing, like, I want people to see me that way. Like, I can still do some things. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He's got the gift.
And so I come up in there, and I'm like, I'm about to surprise them. They don't know what's about to come in there. I'm about to bring a little heat. And the heat came on me in a different way. It went from, and look, this was my very first time ever throwing a pitch and having a first pitch. So I felt honored. It was crazy how Philly, like, I said, man, they showing me some love. I'm a West Coast boy. I just felt honored. I almost became a Philly fan right there and then.
Yeah.
I was like, Dodgers, you're out. I was like, and I just, and then as soon as I threw that bad pitch,
they let you have it.
And you felt it. I was like, oh, my gosh, get me out of here.
Yeah. It's a good thing you hadn't bought your Phillies jersey just yet.
It's weird because those boos, it's kind of like a cheer.
Yeah.
Oh, in that particular situation, it's kind of like the Run DMC. It's not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. They're not boos meaning boos, but boos meaning yeah.
Oh, okay. You know
what,
okay.
What are you talking about?
Okay. He's trying to make me feel better. He's trying to convert me.
What you should have tried, see if you guys can find the video of the guy from Cirque du Soleil who threw out the first pitch one time. That's how you throw out a first pitch.
Okay, hold on. First off, so yesterday I was supposed to come back and redeem myself.
Yes.
And that died hard because, you see what I did there?
Yeah, you did,
Because Bruce Willis bumped me, which was an honor to meet him. I was like, shoot, I mean, I grew up watching it the whole night, so it was cool, but can we pull up his first pitch? I think mine was better than his.
Wait, hold on a second. Back this up. I want you to see the Cirque du Soleil guy.
Okay.
Wait, it's yeah, here we go. He does aim.
Wow.
And dude, he put it across the plate, too.
Did he?
Yeah, he did a crazy backflip twist. We'll show you, and watch this.
Right at the
point. See, what you don't know is that dude's really an American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. All right, now pull up Bruce Willis's pitch from last night, and we'll do our best to describe these to those who have not seen it yet. But so you should, at what point did they tell you, by the way, Akbar?
Well, so by the time I got to the park, they said, hey, thank you so much for coming out, but here's the deal. Bruce Willis is here. I said, oh, shoot, is he?
Yeah.
Look, I was actually
he's
happy.
Watch
Bruce
me.
Willis,
yeah.
I owe him a lot because I hadn't practiced one bit since.
What?
I hadn't practiced one bit. Oh, I didn't practice. And I didn't know if it was going to be the, look, he's got the walk. He's got the cool walk and everything.
Yeah, he's strolling out. You see, everything about him oozes cool. That's for sure. And he's not even at the pitcher's mound. He's in front of it, which is what they do anyway. So he lobs it, and
but that was kind of an old man throw.
It was.
It was an old man throw.
But it was accurate. The bounce was just before
low.
The catch.
It went low, just like mine.
Just to call it the way it is, yours was a outside, as they say, almost outside the park. But it was
yours made it about 5 yards.
I was far away. That one looked far worse from where I was.
So
when
did they have you stand in front of the mound as they did with him?
No, they had me on the mound.
Okay.
Even though I was supposed to, and I saw how far it was because I had never been on a mound in real life. And I was like, oh, hell no, I can't make it. So I cheated it and made it my way down to the bottom. Uh-huh. And, but yeah.
Still didn't work out for you.
All right, I didn't.
So did they say that they'll have you back again sometime?
I think they may. Yeah, I think they may.
All right.
But the next time we film Ninja Warrior down here in Philadelphia.
Did you hang with Willis?
Yeah, I did. I got a chance to meet him. I talked a little bit, and
he's
that was cool.
Sports,
yeah, but and he told me he played baseball growing up. So yeah, so it was expected of him.
Did he say anything about ever watching American Ninja Warrior? Or?
No, I didn't want to pin him up like that. You know what I mean? I didn't want to pin him up. I was just like, man, it was cool to meet you. Yeah. So yeah, I took a picture, put it on the gram. You know, that's what you got to do. Put it on the gram.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about your book as well, because that is out, and that's one of the things that you're in town promoting. It's called Everyone Can Be a Ninja.
Yeah.
And what all is this about? What's the basic theme of the book?
Well, not that you guys have a shot at becoming ninja warriors. No. Not that I'm dissing you guys. But no, the show has really inspired me to really kind of look within. For the last 7 years, I've seen these ninjas compete on the show, and they overcome the obstacles on the course. And I just thought, you know, what about the obstacles we have in our own personal lives? And it inspired me to want to inspire others by telling my personal story about the obstacles I had to overcome, not only to get in the NFL, to play in the NFL, but even making it to American Ninja Warrior. I was the least likely candidate to be hosting American Ninja Warrior on a primetime show. I didn't have a big NFL career. My brother played in the NFL almost 10 years, Packers Hall of Famer, and I didn't have that career. And when you look at TV and the landscape of sports television and entertainment, a lot of times those spots are reserved for the big guys, the Hall of Famers, the Super Bowl winners, and I didn't have any of that. And so the journey there was quite challenging, but it was just me being resilient, me thinking outside of the box, humbling myself, understanding my passion, and then approaching it. And so I took a backdoor approach where I went to a local NBC station in San Diego and said, hey, look, I'll work for free and I'll do the postgame show for the Chargers and the San Diego State Aztecs. And they go like, for free?
Yeah.
You're
saying all the stuff that that's honestly it. And we talk about it all the time and we hope that it encourages people to do that. It also involves being fluid.
Yes.
Being able to adapt to different scenarios and also being able, we talk about it, Preston, you've talked about it many times, sometimes being able to assess where you are in life. Okay, so I'm not going to be this.
Right.
And this doesn't appear, but I can take this and turn it around and maybe tilt it up and go this way.
Right.
And that's a possibility. So
yeah, it's understanding kind of where you are in that space.
Yeah.
You know, one of the chapters I talk about is rejecting your circumstances. And that applies in everything we do in life. And it is not a sports thing. You know, I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and in the Crenshaw District, it's very easy for people to go, hey, like, these are the circumstances I grew up in.
Yep.
Woe is me. This happened. And I say reject that. Accept that, you know, you understand the platform that you have or where you've grown up, but then you don't have to necessarily be a victim of it.
I'm fascinated by the life of a professional athlete because you're really trained to do one thing and do it really well, and then you make it to the highest level that there is.
Yep.
As a professional athlete in your sport of choice was the NFL.
Mm.
And then you have to figure out what to do after that.
Yep.
And you have to figure that out at a young age where you've been mostly trained to do just one thing.
That's right, Nick.
And so I'm curious as to what your experience was in figuring out what to do afterwards.
Yep.
And what other athletes that you've talked to, you know, when they're in their mid or early 20s, they're no longer going to do this sport for a living, you know, to make a living, literally be a professional.
Nick, it is one of the most challenging things because here you are 20 for me. I was 28, 29 years old, and I'm retired.
Right.
That's a mind blower. Yeah,
and the depression that happens afterwards, it's the very first thing that happens. And it's the same thing that a person who's worked in an industry for 30-something years and they're in their 60s and they retire and they kind of go, what do I do with my life now? And you experiencing that at 30, 29, 28, and you have your whole life in front of you, I mean, it is just a tank. And then you go through this identity crisis. So you go from this depression, like, I'm not playing anymore, to this identity crisis, like, who am I? What am I? And you start going around, people are looking at the enormity of your size. Man, you should still be playing. And every time somebody says that to a former athlete, just know it gets them right in the gut because you're like, man, like, I should still be playing, but why aren't I playing? And everyone only identifies you as an athlete. And you're trying to reshape yourself, but people keep trying to put you in this athletic box. And you're like, what do I do? And then you have to be able to evaluate yourself. And the evaluation process is very hard because the hardest person to get to know is yourself because there's denial, there are wounds, there are the things that you're familiar with. When you're doing sports from a kid all the way up to that age, it's hard. And so for me, I had to go and I had to stop myself and I had to say, what is it that you really want? I had to ask the hard question, why and what is your purpose? Because I really do believe that purpose defeats fear. I talk about that in the book. And if you understand your purpose, then it eliminates the fear of trying something new because we all do. We go try something new.
Yes.
And it's scary. Like, I don't want to. How do I? And I even go into the journey. We can even go deeper and deeper into it. Like, even from the financial standpoint, I went from, to accelerate the point, I went from $300,000 in my bank account to $40,000 within less than 2 years. It was almost 2 years. And I wasn't buying private jets, fancy smancy cars. I drove an Oldsmobile Bravada at the time.
You were living.
I was just living. Life was happening, but I didn't have any income coming in. And I had got married. I had two kids. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I had to start making quick decisions and to understand, like, man, my little head start that I had was almost gone.
Right.
Real quick, people are texting and are just joining and liking what they're hearing. They want to know who we're talking to. It's Akbar Bajabi Amila who is here. And Steve, you had a question?
Yeah, no, just to that point. So, a similar thing, and we've all had it at different levels. Preston started off going to be a rock star. I was a stand-up comedian for a long time. That was what my income was, doing that. And then it shifted. I was like, nah, this is... It's firing for me, but not really. And then shifted to radio, which was honestly when I was going to school was the least of the things that I was interested in. Suddenly became the thing, but I was starting over. And you talk about making that assessment and working for free and realizing, you know, what you have to do to get going. It's a daunting thing for a lot of people. But you said something that struck me is that You can't waste time just sitting there going, oh, woe is me, sort right. of. Go.
Right.
Make a swing at it and just start moving, because once you lose momentum, that's where you're going to fall prey to all those demons.
Steve, you're so right. It's the momentum that is really key, because there's this pressure if I got to do something, and that's a healthy momentum. Like, what am I doing next? What am I doing next? But if you sit there and you just go, I don't have anything going to me. Nobody's coming to me. Nothing's happening. And there's this whole entitled mindset that you got to break down, because when you're in the league, people are always like giving you opportunities. They're just handing and putting it on your lap, and people are always doing things for you. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, I got to be the creator. And I'll never forget having a conversation with a former teammate of mine who played in the NFL, and we were teammates at San Diego State. And I called him, and I called it the Magic Johnson syndrome.
Yeah.
Because Magic Johnson did a lot for athletes in showing that you can go from sports into being a businessman. But it was also, there's a curse to it, too. Because so many guys lost focus. They saw Magic Johnson with the theaters and Starbucks and part owner of the Lakers. And he was doing all these different things. And I got out of the league, and I was like, I want to do broadcasting. I want to have a franchise, do franchising. And I want to do this. And I want to start a clothing line. And I want to do this. And I want to do all these things. And I remember my teammate, Andrew Klein, go, Akbar, hold on, I can't even keep up with all of your ideas right now. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying, Akbar, you have to choose one. If you fail at it, get up, try it again. If you fail, try it again. And I'll never forget that, because I think what happens is you add all these different things, and they're really built up excuses. Because if you shoot for five different things or six different things, you can say, well, you know, I was doing this and this, you just lose focus.
Well, it also,
you lose focus.
You fall into, well, I got this guy. It's like the old thing about, right. You see it portrayed in movies all the time with the guy, the producer, the hustler, well, I got this, and then there's a thing in the market on, and I just signed a deal with cable. I get it for
$100. That was an L.A. thing.
Right, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that, it's that vibe of getting distracted. I see so many people, and you give the advice. It's tough, man. It's tough at certain points, you know, and sometimes we'll get calls from people or emails from people who want to get into radio, and they're you know, you have to be honest. If you're well along and you have to take a look at the landscape, if it's your dream and you want to pursue it, great.
Right.
But you also have to be able to assess where you are and what is the likeliest path that's going to yield you.
And I really do believe, Steve, that people can. Like, if someone wants to, and it may seem far off, like it seemed like a wild dream for me to pursue this. Like, Akbar, you didn't have that football career. Come on, man. Like, you're going down the wrong path. And I was like, you're not going to stop me. In fact, I'm not going to do anything else. And it was at the detriment of putting my family in financial crisis. When I went down from $40,000, that money kept going from $300,000 to $40,000. I got my first gig doing Division II games for CBS College Sports, making $26,000 a year. And for me, on the inside, I felt rich. Now, my wife and the kids was like, we got a problem. Yeah. She was like, you asked me to stop working, and I was making more money than this. And in my mind, I just like, I'm doing what I love. I have a passion for it. You couldn't tell me anything. And then I had to look at the bank account. Hold on, let me look at this statement. And I'll look at it and say, ooh, Viva Loca. This isn't good. And then I made a pivot. But still, I was focused is the point. I was focused on making sure that I wasn't going down four different paths to then somehow suffocate the idea that I was,
it never allows you to focus.
Right.
In your mind, you're convincing yourself you have momentum because look at all these things that I'm working, but only maybe one of them is even remotely going to be give you a return, while the others are just distractions. I had the same situation with my wife. We got to the point where I'm like, I think this is where I want to go.
Right.
I think this is going to happen. And we basically had that uncomfortable conversation. Okay.
Ride with
me. This is how much time I'm willing to go along with this.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to really reassess. And thankfully it did work out. But you have to have those discussions with yourself. You know?
And we have this in all different parts of our lives where like the book, I'm hoping that it will inspire people to be able to find that greatness. And you find that greatness by getting to know yourself better, understanding the things that you do well, the things that you don't do well, knowing when there is distraction. Like, again, talking to players or anyone, not even former players, just people. And when I hear people tell me they're going in 15 different directions, it's like, yeah, it sounds good, but the truth is you're afraid to focus.
Yeah.
Number of people texting him wanting to know the name of the book is called Everyone Can Be a Ninja by Akbar Baja Biamila. And you had mentioned at the beginning, you know, you grew up in Crenshaw.
Mm.
The only thing I knew, or when it first came on my radar, that area in South Central
LA, Boys in the Hood.
Boys in the Hood and, you know, Colors, movies like that, mm-hmm. and so on.
How is it that scary? Is this portrayed in some of the movies at that time when you were young?
You know what? I felt John Singleton, rest in peace.
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job in portraying the real struggle of my neighborhood in Boys in the Hood. And people ask me, you know, but when you're living in the neighborhood, you understand where the dangers are. You understand what streets you can go down, what color you can wear, what kind of, so you create your own safe haven within the craziness. But the truth is, it was. I mean, it was accurate. I mean, those stories we know. You know, I grew up with those stories. I mean, for me to be in the seventh grade and lose a good friend of mine, which I talked, that was another obstacle. Like, I remember losing my good friend to, you know, to a shooting. And at the time, that was my reality. As an older man now with kids, and I think back, oh my gosh,
yeah,
who the heck would want to murder a seventh grader?
Because so
I have kids, and I'm like, a seventh grader?
Yeah. Yeah.
What could a seventh grader do to a person
right.
that you would want to murder them?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like this is an accident. I mean, this was a murder.
He was the target.
He was the target.
He was not an innocent bystander. Yeah. That's my daughter's in seventh grade. That blows
my mind.
My mind. Can't,
but now, just to like give you perspective, that was my reality, and it was just like, he wasn't the first person. Now, he's the first person that I knew intimately, right. mm-hmm. but he wasn't the first person that I heard of that. So, yeah. although I was sad, it didn't, like, it wasn't crazy to me.
Right, and now with this context, it's a whole different thing. It was interesting with Boys in the Hood and seeing, and just seeing also documentaries. It's weird to say, you know, how removed we are. I saw a documentary about this place where you lived. Right. But, you know, it's California Sun, it's this, sure. and the ranch homes, and it's smaller, but it seems, you know, it's like, wow, you know, how is this place ending up being so volatile? But you just explained it. If you knew how to play the neighborhood right, you could do
it. And it's not all bad. Like, you go outside and you're going to die.
A hail of bullets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Watching Boys in Hood, like, yes, there were parts of that movie that were just terrifying. I'm like, wow, I wouldn't want that to be a part of my life. But it also looked like they were enjoying themselves.
Yeah, you think about Larry Fishburne and the mentor that he was in the movie. I knew that for me. I talk mm-hmm. about, you know, in my book, Everyone Can Be a Ninja, Mr. Garrison was that mentor for me growing up. And I had so many other mentors along the way who tried to show me the rope, who showed me, you know, the good thing. My parents who were involved introducing me to doctors and trying to get me around people who were influential and could lead me in the right direction and just show me and open me up to a whole new world. But those were some of the obstacles that I had to navigate, you know, growing up.
When you're in a neighborhood like that growing up, do you want to stay there and fix it, or do you want to get out, or both?
Both. Yeah, both. Because, you know, you cannot, and I truly believe this, because I think one of the mantras in the neighborhood is that, oh, yeah, he's keeping it real because he's in the neighborhood. But you cannot grow standing still. You've got to move forward. And so many times I think the mindset is like, you got to just stay right here. Because what it does, it just suffocates growth. You're not able to move forward if you're just stuck in one place. I've never seen a person stand still and be able to move forward. You just can't. And that's what it means. When you're saying, I got it. Now, for me, I have a lot of resources that goes back to my neighborhood because I want to be able to help move kids forward.
Right. Do you think, I'm sorry, Casey. Do you think the NFL has in place enough mechanisms now? You talked about earlier about, you know, facing retirement at the age of 27, 28, are there mechanisms in place to sort of prep these athletes that come in and have the world by the cojones and they're ready to go and they don't realize, you know, after football, they're not planning? Is there anything that helps finesse them along?
I don't even, and again, that, going back to rejecting your circumstance, I don't think it's an NFL thing. I think it's very easy to blame the NFL. Yeah, yeah. The NFL, like they definitely have a responsibility because these athletes, you know, we give our body, we give everything to the game.
Yeah.
And they have things in place. I went through broadcast boot camp for the NFL with the NFL where they get players who are interested in pursuing this way, and they give you was essentially probably about a $30,000-$40,000, you know,
education
process. I went through the business school, Wharton School of Business, right out here.
Yeah.
For business management, again, I was trying to pursue different areas, and they have all these different things and certifications that you can take to help move players forward. For me, it comes down to the player making the decision to focus and really understand. But it's scary. It really is scary knowing that you got to jump into a whole nother lane. You've been going 100 miles an hour in this lane, and you've mm-hmm. been comfortable, and now you got to make a switch in lane. That can be scary.
Sure. And a lot of that's got to be on you, too, as well, even though, because I'm sure that there are veterans saying,
watch your money. This ain't going to last forever. Yeah. I'm sure the NFL has programs. The NBA does. I know that on how to manage yourself.
Yeah, but it's not even a watch your money type of thing as it is finding your purpose. Because you've been so focused, hyper-focused at a high level. Right. Most people cannot be that hyper-focused. And I think what makes what makes us in awe of athletes is the fact that we are so hyper-focused on one thing, and we can do it well repetitively. Mm. We go back and get better and get better. Like, how can Odell Beckham get better? I mean, gosh, he's already good.
Yeah.
But he's going to get better. And you see these with these athletes. Most people in their lives, they just stay even because they're – sometimes what I believe is a lot of people are afraid of success. But if I stay just right there in the middle and I'm just flowing along in a comfort zone, nobody ever has expectations of me. And I can just continue to consistently work through 20, 30 years of just staying right there. But if I stay hyper-focused and constantly looking to move the bar every time, that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Hey, so you're a world-class athlete. Not much of a baseball player.
Was.
I'm sure you still are. How are you on roller skates?
Not very good.
Okay.
It takes me about 20 minutes to warm into it.
Uh-huh.
And then after a while, I start scooting. And from scooting, I start thinking I'm cool.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Did you see this documentary on roller skating rinks in the area that you grew up in and how they're just disappearing?
I was a part of it. World on Wheels was the biggest one in our neighborhood. I think it was probably one of the biggest ones in the area. And you're right. It used to be a thing, but it also used to be an area where people used to get shot up a lot, too.
That'll hurt it.
Yeah, and so people just kept going.
But it was funny because in the documentary they had talked about that and how on these these nights people were like, all right, let's just put our differences aside and let's just skate.
Oh no, it was a thing. It's a part of the vibe. It's a part of the dancing. It's a part of the culture of just moving. But I always wish I could skate like some of the people. And I used to. In fact, I still hate good skaters.
Preston's pretty good,
huh?
Yeah, pretty good.
I can shuffle.
Can you
bit.
Really? Mm-hmm, yeah. And can you do the thing where you skate, and then you turn around and you do that little swivel back and you start skating backwards?
Yep.
I hate people who can do that. it makes me upset.
Do we have footage, Preston? It was one of the empty construction areas here. We had him skating around and got some footage.
Of course, there's like screws and bolts and things laying all over the place. Yeah. It was a little bit difficult, but I love doing that. I'm just curious, right now we're getting a lot of texts coming in of people who are ready to take on the world today.
There you go.
After listening to Akbar speak about this, and they can pick up your book, which is available now, right?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Everyone Can Be a Ninja. It's available wherever books are sold, or you can go to iamakbar.com to purchase.
Is there an audio version of it?
I did the audio version. Can I be honest? Can I just keep it real? Because I feel like we're family in here.
Sure.
I've heard audiobooks for a long time, and sometimes there are people who just give you like that lecture hall type.
Oh yeah, dude.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't let one of them those rando lecture hall readers do my book. And so I had to do it. But it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do before because the pressure of reading and trying to make sure you're not boring.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I must have taken 100 takes just to do one line, paragraph.
How long did it take you to do the whole book?
Do you really want to know?
Yes.
5 days.
That's not that bad.
5 days.
So I listen to a lot of books when I'm hiking. Like I'll pop them in as I'm going along, and I hike every day, so I'm listening to a lot.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. I know some dudes, and when I hear them at the beginning of the thing, I'm like, oh, here we go. And then sometimes people read their own books, and they shouldn't.
Yeah. Yes, Stephen King shouldn't.
He's a brilliant writer.
I would encourage people, just go ahead and hit me up on social media. I want to know. It was my very first time at it.
That's opening up a can of worms.
I'm going to go listen to it. You suck. I don't want to be a ninja anymore. No, I was nervous. I was so nervous doing it, but I was like, I didn't want anyone else to tell my story. It just would feel weird for someone else to
No, it does because you're passionate about it. And to have a third party relay what you're passionate about would seem lacking authenticity.
Right, because you could have the perfect inflection and the romantic voice when you're reading and it doesn't have the same effect if it's not coming from
I was listening to one book. I listened to a lot of political stuff, and there was one of the guys, whenever he would be to somebody else, he'd be quoting, reading a quote. his voice would almost go up like, and then he's, I don't want, and it's like, what is this?
You know what? I was, okay, this is funny that you say that, because when I would quote, so Allison Felix, you know, her story is featured in my book. My former teammate, Nnamdi Asamoah, who played for the Eagles.
Right.
His story is featured in, but when I was going through and reading Allison, some of the stuff that Allison and I were talking about, I was like, okay, how do I do Allison's voice? You know, because Allison says, well, they used to call me Chicken Legs. And so I was like, but they used to, and so I was trying to find that, because I didn't want to sound like this. Because that's not how Allison sounds. So yeah. I was trying to find the balance in between my voice to figure out how to represent that it was Allison speaking and not
it's
me.
It's tough.
Yeah. It is.
A lot of people are asking how to spell your name because they're looking for the book, and that's a chore.
Is that really? That did not just come in, did it?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay, here we go. I hope you. Are people listening to this right now?
Yeah.
Live?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. And I'm not doing the alphabet, so please don't send in. He just gave the alphabet.
Yeah.
It's G B A J A B I A M I. L-A. There are a lot of A's in there. That was my last name.
Here you go. Just type in American Ninja Warrior and then go to IMDb and you'll see the host. You'll see it's Akbar. You'll recognize name if you can't spell it all out right now and you're in your car or something.
And like well, that. No, what are you trying to say? People can't remember how to spell my last name while driving? I mean, come on. The people here in Philadelphia are pretty small. I just told you I went to Wharton.
Yeah, I'll bet you there are times when you misspell your own name.
Yes. Yeah. No, you know when I misspell my last name? Is when people have a hard time on the other end listening to my language and say, okay, give me your spelling. And I go, G is in George, B is in boy. Hold on, where am I? A is in apple. Like, I got to keep up where I am.
Can you say Giannis's last name?
Oh my goodness! And we're from the same tribe. I gotta see it in from attend Kumpo. Cause somebody put it in front of me.
I struggle with it.
No, I can say it if I look at it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Which he has.
And he only has two more letters in his last name than I do.
Okay. Here you go. Kathy's gonna take it.
Shame
over.
On me. And then we're from the same Yoruba tribe. I can see my dad say, "Well, I can." Okay. Yeah. Attend. Anteto Kumpo. There you go. Anteto Kumpo. Yeah, I'm trying to do it with the Nigerian accent.
Anteto Kumpo.
Tenkumpo.
Tenkumpo.
Are you Niger?
I am.
Okay. All right.
I just don't go out a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
It's very not nice. Easy.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But it's a Yoruba name. So as you can see, Baja Biamila is way easier.
Yeah. Much better.
By the way, we got to wrap things up, but real quick about American Ninja Warrior. What's the status of that?
Yeah, we premiere season 11 of American Ninja Warrior.
It's amazing.
We're super excited about this. For the first time in season 11, we're doing something brand new. We're going to be pitting ninjas versus ninjas on the power tower. So the two fastest ninjas at the end of the episode will face off.
At the same time?
Wow. Yeah, at the same time. Wow. They're going to go head to head. Somebody might go blow for blow, too, but I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a showdown. It's going to be pretty epic. So we can't wait for it. We start off in L.A. We kick it off with Los Angeles, and then we travel to six other cities.
Well, the book is called Everyone Can Be a Ninja. It is out now, and we appreciate you coming by, Akbar.
Thank you. Should I spell the last name one more time?
One more time. Go for it.
G-B-A-J-A-B-I-A-M-I-L-A.
And that's pronounced Baja Biamila. Ladies and gentlemen, Akbar Baja Biamila.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. I wanted to remind everybody that if you go to PrestonSteve.com, we have a link to a GoFundMe page that is benefiting our friend Mike. You know him as Mr. Peanut from the Cardboard Classic. If you don't know at this point, we'll just recap. He set up a wonderful sled and a whole presentation at this year's Cardboard Classic. He ended up getting injured. He was caught up under the front of it. Preston was actually in the large peanut that was going down the hill. He received a couple of breaks to his jaw. He has a couple other things he's dealing with. He's a contractor. He's out of work for a little while. So the GoFundMe page was set up by his team. And again, these are the guys that year in and year out, along with a number of other teams, make the Cardboard Classic such a rocking event and make it such a show. So if you've ever enjoyed it, if you've ever been out to any of the Cardboard Classics or watched any of the videos, and you have a few bucks to spare, go, and we would encourage you to donate and help him as he goes to this recuperation time. Nick, you were saying you got a text from him?
Yeah, I got a message, and Mike really is a great guy, and so my heart goes out to him on a lot of different levels, but because his jaw is wired shut, he's on a weight loss program, an unintentional weight loss program, but he's lost 10 pounds in 4 days. So he's hurting. He's in pain. He slept for 11 hours the other night. That was the good news. But the bad news is that he's going to be dealing with this for a long time, and he's going to need some help.
He will. And I love to see the other groups, because they're all sort of a cooperative, all these different teams that participate, and they're all behind this as well. I just think, and it's, you know, Mike has a good sense of humor, but whenever he's mentioned or a picture of him is put up, it's not a picture of him. It's a picture of him as the peanut.
As the peanut. He will forever be Mr. Peanut.
He will forever be Mr. Peanut. I'll never forget the day after I was talking to his wife, Katie, and she goes, "That stupid peanut costume." And she started to laugh. So, but yeah, if anything we can do to help him would be greatly appreciated. I also want to read this. We just got this email. Marissa handed it to me. It was actually addressed to Marissa on behalf of all of us. And it says, "I just wanted to tell you how impressed I've been with you guys in Presbo's absence." Again, Preston will always be Presbo now. "Most fellow employees would bitch and moan all day long if a key member of their team was out for one day. Instead, you guys suit up and bring the awesome and the funny with hardly a blip. We all know you're a special gang, but yesterday and this morning are showing how much you care, not only for your fans, but each other as well. I'm trying to call up some cool sayings to close with, but all I can think of is gadzooks, because the freaking baby shark segment is running right now and has taken over my brain." Sorry about that. And that's from Melanie Z in Westchester, PA. Well, the reason we could do it all is because you're very cool, Melanie, and very forgiving. It's never the show without Preston, but, you know, as you said before, we forge on. And speaking of Preston, a.k.a. Presbo, he is on the line right now. Preston, are you there?
Yeah, it's me, the hardly a blip over here.
How are you guys doing? Preston, you are the hardly a blip, Elliot.
Yeah. How are you?
To be honest, I'm feeling a little clunny today.
It's clunny,
are you listening?
Right?
Dear God.
Yeah.
Are we getting show notes from you?
It's farch, so it's clunniness is in the air.
If you could pick a letter, what grade would you give us for today?
I don't know. You know what? The only thing I caught of you guys was I did watch Fox Good Day, because I've never seen it from this perspective. This morning, so I had just rolled out of bed, and I was like, "Oh yeah, let me put that on real quick." So that was kind of fun. So I'd give you guys, you know, a B minus.
That's good.
So now he knows how Bill feels. Yeah. They're not that good.
By the way, it's startling when you see, like, I was watching a video the other day, one of the Daily Rush videos, and I'm like, "Oh my God, am I hideous?"
Oh my God!
It's always, sometimes it surprises you. I try to stay away from them just to not bring myself down, but it was a splash of cold water in my face. But how are you doing, Preston? We've been talking, obviously.
I'm you know what, man? I'm still feeling kind of crappy, to be honest. I woke up this morning, I was telling you guys the other day when I was on, you know, talking to you, Steve, I'm like, it kind of comes in waves. For those who don't know, I have what's called influenza B. It's a strain of the flu. It's just, you know, your standard generic flu. It knocks you out, makes you feel like crap. And I woke up this morning, I had a headache again. I'm like, man, I thought I was going to, you know, get past the symptoms by now, and you know, I still might be contagious, but maybe feeling a little bit better. And unfortunately, Rochelle is starting to feel bad too.
Oh, man. So,
but Dr. Mike is the man. He's amazing, and he's got you know, the whole family right now. We're all taking antibiotics, just there for preventative measures. I'm on it because it's going to help shorten this whole thing out a little bit. So
we
so
are
kids,
as well.
The kids don't have it yet.
No, they haven't shown any symptoms at all. I've been very, very cautious. I haven't really, I've been limiting on, you know, my contact with them and touching anything around the house and stuff like that. So we're trying to just be really cautious. But nobody, just Rochelle started showing signs. And, of course, I figured she would because, you know, we're closer than anybody at any point in the day. So, but we'll see.
The word is that rigorous self-pleasuring will help get the viral agents out of your body. So if you do that,
I'll be up and running in 5 minutes.
He's on his way here now.
When was the last time you and Rochelle made whoopee?
What is this, the newlywed game?
Seriously. Get the music.
In the butt.
What are you, Wink Martindale?
Whoopee.
It's not since I've been sick. That's for freaking sure. I tell you what
answering.
I have been doing, though. I have been eating like a pig, man.
Oh, good. You have to.
Yeah, Rochelle Rochelle made like two trays of brownies, and I just went to town on those things.
She's
like,
still
I
baking.
I want influenza B. Yeah. I love brownies.
Flu brownies.
Flu brownies are the best, Preston. And they help you when you're trying to create semen for that self pleasuring.
I'm glad you have an appetite, though.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, the first day I didn't want to eat anything. I felt horrible, and but now I've been like I said, I'm kind of leveling out a little bit, but it comes in waves. Like, I'll feel crappy for a while, and then after that I'm like, all right, back in the game, I'm ready to go. And then 4 or 5 hours later I feel like crap again. So it's kind of weird, but
here's the deal. We revealed earlier what the plans are.
That's my question.
Yeah, and whether or not, we'll talk after the show and see how the day progresses, whether or not you're in tomorrow. But the plan, obviously, is to do a different version of the broadcast on Friday with our correspondents, Nick, Kathy, and Marissa down in Florida, and you and Casey and myself here in the studio, throwing to them. So we'll see if we hit that. I think that, at least from what Mike says, and if everything goes according to Hoyle, and you're feeling up to it, that's the way we'll proceed.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. I mean, I can't get on a plane, and spread this around. And plus, I was going to visit my mom and sister down there. My
no,
oh, you right can't. Yeah.
Well, there's no way I can go see her. She broke her leg, and she's she's compromised, so I can't go see them at all. And I'm supposed to go the weekend after that. I might cancel that too, to be honest, because I don't think I'd need to be,
Well, right after, too, when you have something like this that really, takes down your body,
your defenses are down.
You're so tired. Like, you need to recover. Even though, once you get to the point where you're not contagious anymore, it's like there's still a recovery period where you're sleeping more and you still need to get your energy back up. So getting on a plane and having to fly down there and then come back and all that kind of stuff, it's going to take a toll on you.
You know what we can do, Preston? A friend of ours has a box truck, and he might be willing to drive you down to Florida.
Oh, really?
If you don't mind talking about snowplows and roller coasters on the trip.
No, as long as I'll ride in the back, it's fine.
All right. All right.
Listen, I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better. I'm really bummed you guys aren't going to be able to come to Clearwood. We were talking about this earlier. Like, it's such a fun day. It's obviously an incredible place. But we did mention that we're going to have Bryce Harper on this year. We're going to have Rhys Hoskins, Zach Wheeler, who is a big free agent acquisition in the offseason, and then Joe Girardi. So you guys will be able to talk to them and be a part of the conversation. But it's not going to be the same without having you down there.
No, it would be a lot of fun. But could you imagine if I got Bryce Harper sick?
Oh, forget it. That's why all the teams are taking now extra precautions with not allowing in locker room interviews and stuff like that, which I think is smart. But
a lot of them aren't even doing autographs, which is one of the big parts of spring training.
Yeah.
I read a story the other day. They're going to suspend that.
Yeah. No, and it's probably really technically it's probably what should be done during flu season to begin with. So as Mike has said a couple of times, if this raises awareness about taking the extra precautions in general, it's a good thing. Now, Kathy, Marissa, and Nick are going to be in the outfield, and the interviewees are going to be on the pitcher's mound.
Last year, Marissa posted a picture of the whole show in Clearwater, and it says hashtag Clearwater or bust. And I keep thinking it's like half Clearwater and half bust on this.
Yeah, there's a bust involved.
Yeah. No, it's.
So I've got another dilemma, too, because this Saturday is the Jake's Dragon Foundation gig that my band is playing on Saturday. And, it's this really cool charity event for a great cause. And I think I'm going to, because I'm planning on coming into work on Friday for sure, no matter what.
Yeah.
We'll take precautions. And you guys know just being in the same room with me is not going to get you sick.
No.
I'm hoping that if I just, at this gig on Saturday, if everybody just stays away from me and I just play my part behind the drums and just kind of stay away from everybody, it should be okay. But I'm going to check with my bandmates and with the charity and find out what the story is, because I know a lot of people have already bought tickets, and I would hate for them to, be disappointed that we're not going to be there and everything. So,
and they can't do the show without you?
You guys are doing it without me, so yeah, I guess they could, right?
Well, I don't know. I just didn't know if it was, like, vital.
What, the drums? It's the most important part of the whole goddamn band. No, I don't know. We'll have to find out, but right now, unless I feel really, really lousy, I'm planning on doing that, but I don't know. I'll find out and have an update on the air, hopefully, on Friday.
Yeah, you have to, obviously. As Mike said, and he made a good point yesterday when we were talking on the phone, is that you got to practice what you preach. And if, you know, we're telling people to be smart about this, you couldn't stick you in a plane shoulder to shoulder with a stranger and potentially get them sick. So we'll do the right thing. And you're right. It'll have a lot more spacing here in the studio. Might even put you, if you are in here on Friday, Preston, on a guest mic in case you'll run the board from the other side, and we'll take the precautions. And then we'll all share a public meet and eat.
Yeah, right. By the way, it was wild because when I went to go see Mike, so I was like his first patient since who has shown, you know, these types of symptoms.
Right.
This corona thing has really started to take off. And so we had to use the new protocols. So, like, immediately, instead of waiting in the waiting room, he took me directly into an examination room and slapped a mask on me.
Wow.
And yeah, exactly. And then I had to go get some tests. I had to go get an x-ray. I had to go get some blood drawn and, you know, give up some pee and all that other stuff. So I had to walk around with the mask on. And so I was, like, walking out on the street a little bit with the mask on, and it was kind of weird. Because I was hyper, you know, focused on people looking at me and what are they thinking? Oh, here's a dude with coronavirus walking down the street and everything. And it was just kind of an interesting perspective to have.
But you said walking the other way was Bane, and he gave you a knowing nod.
He gave me a nod.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was nice.
Uber team.
But it was kind of interesting. So there, you know, doctors are taking these precautions now.
Yeah.
Which they should. And Dr. Mike was telling me, you know, that right now this is just scratching the surface. Like this is, you know, I know there are a lot of public events that are being canceled, and it's probably going to go on for a while until they get a handle on how to manage the whole thing.
Yeah, he's saying that there's going to be what they call community spread, and it will happen. Fortunately, the numbers, right? I mean, it's serious for people, as you said, like with your mom and people with pre-existing conditions and people who are 80 and above and you know, in their latter 70s. We had a gentleman who was 69, but had a pre-existing heart condition who passed away. And you need to be leery of that. For the most part, most people who get it, who end up getting it, will have flu symptoms, mild flu symptoms. Some people may have it, think it's the regular flu and not even know that they have it. But that doesn't mean you just, you know, act very cavalier about it. You take the precautions, as you were saying.
Yeah, you should, because the what we want is to keep it that way.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, that's the thing. So the precautions they're legitimate. I mean, you know, it could get out of control, and if everybody's keeping an eye on what they're doing, it'll keep it in control.
Right.
Preston, speaking of precautions, I don't know if you heard or not, but Kathy's alma mater and my alma mater are both sending all their students home. The Westchester's on spring break, same with Bucknell, and their students are not going to be returning to campus for
they're
the rest
doing,
of the semester.
They're doing Westchester's doing online classes, so they'll still have to take class, but they'll have to do it over the internet from home.
Same with Bucknell.
Wow, no kidding. Yeah. Nice. Well, I mean, I'm glad they're taking those precautions. I mean, I heard that Park Valley was closed because they're going to be cleaning and stuff like that. So,
which is a good idea. Good idea to do all that and do all that stuff. Man, I would have killed to have had long online college.
Right.
For Christ's sake, that would have been so good.
I might not have ever missed class if that were the case.
Oh, well, I took one online class and I failed it.
Oh, really? Because you didn't sit down, did you?
I didn't quite realize how. I was like, oh, well, if I get an answer wrong, I'll just go back and fix it. No, you can't do that.
Oh, really? Hey, Press, you sound good.
You sound better.
You're not doing, like, the sick voice.
What, at the beginning I had a sick voice on?
No, just, you know, a lot of times people will amp it up. Oh, yeah. Hey. I don't feel really good.
I don't feel so good.
No, I mean, like I said, it's like it comes in waves. So right now I feel pretty decent. Like, you know, about an hour and a half ago I had a headache and I probably would have been not as projecting as I am with my voice right now. But yeah, and I mean, I'm a little nasally, but I'm not laid up in bed. I'm essentially what I've been doing the past 2 days has been playing video games.
So. Oh, okay. And eating brownies.
And eating brownies.
There are worse things to do.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were able to catch up on. So it's video games?
Yeah, I'm playing Sniper Elite 4. I got some DLC, Steve, some digital content, some extra maps I did not know were. Thank God for my teenage sons.
Yeah, that's a great game.
So I've been doing that and playing drums, and that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Have you watched Hell or High Water yet, or any of the movies we've been bugging you about for 5 years?
No.
All right.
Yeah.
We finished up The Outsider last week, Casey, and we're watching Designated
survivors.
All the things that that's what the CDC is recommending.
Yes,
that's right.
Expose yourself to as much Kiefer Sutherland as possible.
Right. Yeah. But it's weird. I know there's things that I should be watching and I haven't been doing.
No. They would only cloud your judgment. So, honestly, sniper skills are something you can use in our dystopian future. So,
hey, is anybody else around the office gotten sick or anything?
No. People are annoying, but no.
Yes, well, Mike Missinelli was out.
Was he?
Yeah, and I blamed Pancake for you getting sick, Preston.
Why, was he sick?
Oh, Pancake had the flu. Yeah, he was out for like almost a week.
It's his fault.
Oh.
He's patient zero.
Yeah.
He's the monkey in Outbreak.
I wonder, because I've been wondering where I might have picked it up from. But, it doesn't – some of the stuff can be airborne. It could be somebody sneezing or coughing around you, and it doesn't necessarily have to be stuff. But, I mean, I was trying to trace back, and who knows when I picked it up, because I started feeling it Thursday night. I was wondering if, like, Trey Thomas or his wife got sick because we had dinner on Thursday night together.
Were you guys doing, like, the melting pot?
Did you share any dishes?
Fondue?
I was hand-feeding him.
would you like me to peel another grape for you, Trey? Pancake has that vomit spittoon right next to his desk, and I think that could have been the trouble, too. So.
All right, so I haven't... What, he was puking?
No. He was just not feeling well.
He's got what you got.
Yeah.
All right, because this flu has been different. I've had, well, I mean, I don't know if it was the flu before, but this is not puking and crapping flu.
Right.
This has been like headache, sneeze, and then I started getting a fever and chills and sweats and body aches and that type
and of brownies.
Thing. And loads of brownies. I may go have some right after I get off the phone.
Can you do me a favor? Eat a brownie and have your teeth all black and text us a picture.
A sick picture.
I love that picture.
I love brownie teeth. They're
great.
Yeah,
but you know what? I'm doing your job, so you could do my thing. You could do the brownie teeth.
This is true. How's he doing, by the way?
He's doing a great job because we have him sort of, he's leading in and out of the breaks, and then we're playing back some bits, and people are, obviously they miss you, but they know what's going on. And also, again, owing to what Mike said, you got to practice what you preach. So,
it's a confusing time, and this is one of the weirdest weeks I can ever remember, and I applaud you for staying home, Preston. It's the right call, and, we'll soldier on. We'll be fine. Everything will be fine. We'll all be fine.
Exactly. The good advice to get out. And as long as there's drums, video games, and brownies, we'll all be we'll all be good. So, all right. Well, I hope you feel better, man. We'll chat later on and see what's going on for tomorrow. But where the goal is to get everything up and running for everything, Phillies on Friday. So we'll get to that point and see where we are. But have a good one, man.
And if you can, donate to Mr. Peanut's GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Cause, because Mike needs to get better, and they need some help paying for those bills. So
you'll be happy to know that yesterday we had donations from Julie Jerkoff and who else?
Pat McCrotch made a donation. Yeah, so thank you to Pat.
My mom made a donation, by the way.
Aww.
Yeah, so she's like, how do you do that? I go, I'm like, how much do you want to donate? She's like, $25.
$25,000.
I said, okay, give me $25 and then I'll do it online for you. I don't want you to do anything that involves online payments.
Right.
So I'm like, let me
check. Might accidentally do $2,500 instead?
She's just not, she might.
Yeah.
I mean, because you do have to, like at the top of the page, you'd put in your amount, but it already has the .00 on it.
Right.
So she, you never know.
Listen, it'd be a wonderfully generous gift if she did. So, all right, Preston, have a good one. We'll talk later and feel better.
All right. Thanks, guys. Right. See ya.
Have a good love one. You.
You said love you. That's adorable. That's totes adorbs.
Casey Boy, is this your mom that donated on the page that says Casey Boy's mom?
Yeah, well, I typed it in as Casey Boy's mom.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
How do you, is it Cherkoff or Jerkoff?
it's Kirkoff. Forgive me.
how are we doing time-wise?
Yeah, we should take a break because we do have to, pay the bills, as they say.
Right.
And then this is going to be one of your last opportunities to text the word secret to 39333 to win a 4-pack of movie tickets from Fandango. So we're going to get that winner for the secret text word in just a little bit.
Excellent.
So let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll do the bizarre file. And we got the trash and the music news and all that stuff.
Yes.
All right. So hang tight.
MMR rocks your St. Paddy's Day with a huge MMR party and a live 3-7 broadcast with Jackson at Big Heads in Richboro. Presented by Bud Light. Featuring 275 Bud and Bud Light drafts, $3 Ultra bottles, and $4 Bud Light seltzers. The Preston and Steve Show drops in from 3 to 5 with some traditional St. Paddy's Day contests and lots of prizes, including $1,000 cash. Pierre Robert arrives ever so slightly behind, rocking up Jackson's broadcast from 5 to 7 with tickets to see Green Day August 29th every 20 minutes. Don't miss it. Spend St. Paddy's Day with Preston and Steve, Pierre and Jackson at Big Heads in Richboro. Hit up WMMR.com for complete details, including a lunch break with Casey Boy at the Irish Pub and a nightcap broadcast with Jackie Bam Bam at Kavanaugh's Head House. All presented by Bud Light. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your St. Paddy's Day.
Gotta get away. The Offspring, 93.3 WMMR. I always forget the name of that song.
I think it's Happy Birthday?
No. That is, I don't know. No, it's Gotta Get Away.
Gotta Get Away.
Gotta Get Away. Is there another song, the Black Keys?
Is I don't know. You're more the music guy than mine.
I know. Here comes Marissa. She's going to school us all. What's the Black Keys song? Is that Gotta Get Away?
Great job of playing Preston right now. I'm going to play Casey and type in away into our system so we can see all the songs.
Make sure you poop your pants.
No.
Go down. And, yeah, there is a Black Keys song, Gotta Get Away.
There you go. You win. You're now in our bonus lightning round.
Gone away, I stay away. So many.
Oh, right. No. Nick just left. He's our lesson question guy.
Oh. Nick!
All right. I have a question for you, all right?
All right. Yeah, we'll take it,
all right. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. For a second day in a row, show member was out sick?
All right.
For the second day in a row, which show member was out sick?
All right. If you know the answer to that, call in right now, 215-263-WMMR, and you could possibly win a pair of tickets as MMR rocks Highly Suspect. Again, that number is 215-263-WMMR. And let's do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. And the trash is brought to you by Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston Steve Show. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott attempted to quash the rumor mill, saying they refuse to put a label on their on-again relationship. Said Kylie, quote, "Labels are for things you want to put labels on."
Hey!
Madonna has canceled shows in Paris due to restrictions imposed over the coronavirus outbreak. Madonna was willing to do the shows, noting that she had modded her eye patch into a Purell dispenser.
Oh, my.
And finally,
God.
False rumors have been spreading that Daniel Radcliffe is the first, quote-unquote, famous person to test positive for coronavirus. Radcliffe says the claim is preposterous, noting that he is no longer famous.
All righty, we're going to do this. Oh, my gosh. I forgot to do a couple of things.
Well,
over
Nick
here.
Had to beeline it out of here, and we'll maybe explain that tomorrow. But we're.
There's a lot going on.
The judgment continues.
A lot going on.
But we just had that wonderful email, remember, about apparently we're holding up our own here, we will continue in that fine tradition.
We went from 6 to 5 to 4.
Right.
Well, so, and then also, just to kind of kick everything off, there were, when we got here in the morning, and I'm just sort of peeling back the curtain, there were no commercials that were in our, so I had to log every single. And I normally don't have to do something like that. Yeah. Like, so I had to log hundreds of pieces of audio this morning. And the one piece that I needed, which was winning music, I did not load. So I just got that.
What you didn't know also is that we, for a brief period, lost the rights to play the music that we played. So that I actually had to go re-record versions of all the songs we played
and
today.
And sing it, yeah.
You barely even noticed. You might have noticed a couple
a
of
them. A little bit.
Yep. All right. So, but we do have people who have called in. We're going to go to whoever's been on hold the longest, and that would be Bill on line 6. Bill, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Let me pull this down.
The question again? The question for today, and it's difficult, I know. For a second day in a row, which show member called out sick?
Would that be Presbo?
Yes!
Well done.
This guy was paying attention.
Absolutely. Didn't miss a beat.
He was paying attention.
So what's he win, Case?
All right. So congratulations to you, Bill, on line six. You have won yourself a pair of tickets as MMR Rocks Highly Suspect at Franklin Music Hall on Saturday, April 25th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Hang on the line for a second. We'll get your information. Congratulations to you. And now it's time to I was going to say take out the music news. But
let's take out the music news.
Let's take out the music news, Steve.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
I gave it to you anyway today, Kathy.
We'll take it for a spin.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters main man Dave Grohl has spoken to Kerrang! Magazine about the band's upcoming 10th studio LP, saying, We just finished another effing record, and I'm so effing proud of it. It's unlike anything we've ever done.
Ooh, he said bad words.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Not done yet. Grohl added, I'm effing excited for people to hear it, and I can't wait to jump on the effing stage to play it. These are choruses that this record... There are choruses on this record that 50 effing thousand people are going to sing, and it's going to bring everyone's effing hearts together in that moment, and that's what it's all about.
I think he's excited.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit. Either that or he had a lot of coffee right before that interview.
And he likes the F word.
And he likes barbecuing. I noticed that,
he does,
too.
He does. He likes fresh pots of coffee, and he likes barbecue.
So he's totally amped up.
Yep.
The band will kick off a tour next month. The band will headline DC Jam in the nation's capital on July 4th, 25 years to the day that the Foo's self-titled debut album came out.
So he's saying that this is going to sound nothing like they've ever done before.
It's gonna make 50 effing thousand people want to sing the chorus, right, is what he's saying.
Because my only knock, and I love Foo Fighters, is my only knock is there's not a whole variety, I don't think, there's not a variety of sound.
There are people who say that they like bands that stay within their wheelhouse and explore the boundaries within. We look at what we just had happen with Pearl Jam. They released a song that was atypical of their sound, and you always run a risk. I tend to agree with you, Case. I like a band that sort of now and then jumps out of their thing. But with Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, I think like what he did with the Sound City documentary and other stuff like that, and all of that sort of peripheral stuff represents them, you know, expanding their creative base.
Well, and you have to think about who's saying it. He's saying it's unlike anything they've ever done, so it probably is, but in what way?
Well, there's two things that are always said. The new album is darker, and this is very different from what we've done before, and it's usually not much darker, and it's usually sort of similar to what they've done before.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, they once did that Skin and Bones sound album that was half acoustic, half electric, and that was pretty cool.
You're the biggest Foo Fighters fan on the show here. So, did you like that album?
I loved it. Actually, one of my favorite songs is on that song. It's called
What are your favorites?
It's your favorite. She doesn't know the name.
Hands on a Miracle. Okay.
What is it called?
Hands on a Miracle.
God, there's a great song on that album. Absolutely, one of my favorite, and it's called.
Dude, I've been there. I've been like, oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's my friend. His name is,
Oh, my God.
No, he really is my friend.
I know his name.
He really is my friend. Rhymes with.
Yeah.
Sounds something like.
All right. Well, at least, so we'll see what this eventually sounds like. Hopefully we'll get it soon.
The spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus continues to wreak havoc on the concert and festival business. Following intense speculation, the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival has now been officially postponed, along with its sister country music event, Stagecoach. Coachella, which was set to take place in Indio, California on the weekends of April 10th and April 17th, will now be held on the weekends of October 9th and October 16th.
I think, Kathy, what they should do is still allow all these festivals to go on just for the sight of seeing people who are unaware attempt to stage dive.
Yeah, right.
And no one reaches up for them. Right?
There's no word yet on whether the lineup, which was supposed to include a headlining performance from Rage Against the Machine, will remain intact. California has confirmed over 167 coronavirus cases and 2 deaths as of Tuesday. All Coachella tickets will be honored on the new dates, and ticket holders unable to attend in the fall will be given information on how to obtain a refund. Meanwhile, following the cancellation of the South by Southwest and Ultra Music Festivals in Austin and Miami, both events have notified attendees that they will not be offering refunds to those who have already purchased badges. But 2020 registrants can opt to defer their registration to 2021, 22, or 23.
Okay. Again, we were talking earlier, and I think in some of these cases, especially if it's happening right now or in the next month or two, it's probably a good idea if you're talking about trying to just sort of help contain the spread a little bit.
probably a good idea. And it seems like everybody has a plan in place to either delay it a few months down the road or to honor it for next year. Yeah. So
the Killers are coming back this week with a new song called Caution. The Las Vegas band has previewed the song with a brief video on its social media accounts. The black and white clip shows behind-the-scenes footage of the band working on their new album before ending with the release date of the song March 12th. The Killers are scheduled to tour the UK and Europe in May, June, and July. North American dates have yet to be announced. And finally, Ozzy Osbourne has shared the music video of Ordinary Man, the title track from his new studio album that also features Elton John on piano and vocals. In the clip, Ozzy sits in front of a screen watching clips and looking at photos from his early days with Black Sabbath to headlining venues around the world as a solo artist.
Who's that? It's you, Ozzy.
It's you, pal. The video takes the Prince of Darkness through the good times and bad, ending with happy images of his wife, Sharon, and his children. Ozzy says his family has always been along for the ride during his crazy career. Ordinary Man is Ozzy's first solo studio album in a decade and features guest appearances by Slash, Post Malone, and Tom Morello, in addition to Elton. Ozzy's band on the record consists of Duff McKagan on bass, Chad Smith on drums, and producer Andrew Watt on guitar. The singer recently postponed all of his 2020 tour dates after revealing that he's been diagnosed with a form of Parkinson's disease.
You watch some of these clips of early Ozzy. He looks like he's 9 years old.
Yeah.
And we're just so used to seeing him, you know, in the Ozzy-ness that we now know that it's kind of a shock. Also, Sharon, you pointed out Sharon in the early days was...
She was a bag.
She was what, a bag?
She was I think there were once the stylist and people stepped in, it worked to her benefit.
Yes.
Don't want to sound cruel.
And surgeons.
Army Corps of Engineers.
No, she was the daughter of his
of Shrek.
No, maybe of the
yes,
owner
right.
of the studio or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
Hey, Bill Weston's here. He might know.
Bill, her father was like some big wheel in like Mercury Records or something.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So there you go. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a love story that spanned the centuries.
They're still together. Yeah. I mean, good for them. They stuck it out through everything. And that's your music news.
Cool. We're going to do our secret text word now.
Yes.
So, Kathy, let's pick a number.
Okay, we'll go with number 10.
All right, number 10, call in to 215-263-WMMR. And we'll pick a random texture as well for a 4-pack of movie tickets to Fandango.
All right. And we have one more break left, and we will come back after this.
All right. Sounds good.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Blues Traveler, Run Around, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. I love that song. I love that band. What are they, Steve? They're doing a commercial now. It's
for an insurance. I believe it's for insurance.
Getting the runaround.
It's for Santar. Santar Biden.
It's like they're buttering you up.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're, you know, for me, the movie Kingpin, they're featured prominently in that. So always good. Yeah. And they're out on tour again, are they not?
Yeah. Why are you asking me questions?
I don't know. You bring up questions after every song when we start the break. You're asking me. I just throw it back at you, and you bold like a house of cards.
I did. I feel like, maybe they're doing something. I don't know. Somebody will bring up a graphic in the studio when we're like 30 seconds past this point.
We got stuff to do. We don't know. Oh, there we go.
Here we go. MMR rocks the Blues Traveler at the Fillmore last year. That was in November.
Okay, so hope you get your tickets now.
Hope you had fun.
Yeah.
We can move on, though, if we wanted to do the...
I think we really should.
The secret text. We're going to go past this part. Pretend like we were never there to begin with.
I can fix everything. Just let me get to the... All right.
All right. We're going to go to Vinny on line 2, who has the secret text word... I was the one who told Marissa what the secret text word was. Let's see if I remember. All right, Vinny, what is the secret text word?
I can't see without my glasses.
I like that. Well done.
The secret sex word is camera.
Yeah.
Secret text word is camera, and congratulations to you, Vinny. You have won yourself a 4-pack of movie tickets from Fandango. That's actually a cool prize. I got too many knobs around here. All right, hang on a second, Vinny, because I don't know what I'm doing. And we're also going to congratulate Wayne Arimer from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Wayne has also, he was the random texter, so we're going to hook him up with a 4-pack of movie tickets to Fandango as well. Pierre Robert is here, Steve.
Yes, did you see Pierre, him? I see he's coming in. He's, I think he's knocking over things. I don't know what's happening. Now he's leaving.
Goodbye.
Yeah. And now he's back. The elusive Pierre Robert. How are you, Pierre?
I'm fine.
Yeah, everything okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Blues Traveler is going to be on Memorial Day. Oh, you already got it.
Yeah, yes, Blues Driver. Yes, it's the Hoagie Nation.
The Hoagie Nation thing with Hall & Oates.
Which is great. I've been to it.
Yeah.
So much fun.
And the Hooters and
yeah.
Soul Survivors, all kinds of cool
Low Cut, Connie, Natalie, Press, Soul Survivor, Down North, and the Hooters, as you said before, Squeeze, Cool and the Gang. It's a blast.
And it's at the Man, which is great.
Yeah, which we were just talking about. It's a great location as well. So
the first like celebrity I ever met when I was in radio was the bassist for, and I don't remember his name. What I do remember is that he's not with us any longer, but he was the bassist for the Blues Traveler, they were opening for.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah.
His name was Bobby.
They were opening for the Stones at the Vet.
He passed away?
Yeah. He did.
Ah.
He did. Right.
You remember, who had a, did he have a,
I think it was a heroin problem.
Okay.
I think his last name is Sheehan, I think.
All right. We're just a wealth of information.
I wanted to talk about my favorite song.
Oh. What is your favorite song?
From the Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah. Your favorite one. You can't remember it.
It's on that album. it's on that record. I think it's Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah, that's it.
Not cool, man. Not cool.
We've all done it. I do it every day. Do you listen after you're done of the wreck that comes after you?
Today has been the proverbial accident where the guy used to spin dishes on sticks. That's been today because Nick had to run out quickly. Had an issue that he has to tend to right now. Preston's out. And then we've been having to do some shifting around of certain things and what we're doing at the end of the week. Everything has landed, thankfully, on its feet right now. So we're going to find out what's going on for tomorrow. But we might as well check in with you. What do you have going on with your show?
Do we want to do the letter?
Letter, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Thank you.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Well, the Preston and Steve Show today is brought to you by the letter
E as in electric.
E as in electric. So that's the third letter, 5-letter word. And what's up for grabs? A 4-pack of tickets for the Ticket to Rock 2020 shows at BB&T Pavilion. So this is Breaking Benjamin, Bush, and Theory of a Dead Man, MMRBQ, Korn and Faith No More, and Megadeth and Lamb of God. This exclusive multi-show package to the hottest rock tours of the summer start at just $69 at LiveNation.com.
Excellent. Thank God you're organized.
Yeah.
Pierre, that you keep everything together.
That's it. Thanks to me. The House of Cards can stay intact.
What is on your show for today?
We'll have on this program, we're going to do an EAS test.
Oh, nice. Those are great.
Yeah. That's going to happen in the 1 o'clock hour.
Especially in this atmosphere now. They can only lead to widespread panic.
Exactly. and we also will do, because it is March 11th, that means 3/11 day. So we've got to do some 3/11. And we also had a birthday earlier from Lou Reed. At the end of last week that I didn't get to, and he's got some great songs, of course, Sweet Chain.
Are you going to do Sweet Chain?
Yeah, of course.
I love it.
The electric. There's two versions, the original version from Velvet Underground, which is cool, but the electric version of him from the Rock and Roll Animal album is stupendous. And Walk in the Wild Side, all those great songs. So A Block of Lou, and A Block of Lou, and A Block of The Who. But I had a letter requesting a block of the various Who's. So not only the Who, WHO, but the MMRBQ Who, the HU Who.
What about the
Siberian Throat Singers?
Yeah. And the Guess Who.
Nice.
Will all be in there. And if I can find any other Who bands, I'll throw them in too.
All right. All right. Very cool.
That's going to be on the program today.
We'll make sure to stay with you. We have to thank our sponsors for today, Case.
Yeah, we could do that. Oh, I love this music. All right. So we're going to thank Monster Mania. Monster Mania Con 40 comes to Cherry Hill this weekend.
They always put on a great show, by the way.
They do.
Always a great convention.
David Harbour,
yes.
One of our favorites, is going to be there.
Stranger Things and then the new Marvel movie,
yep.
Black Widow.
The Friday the 13th and Child's Play reunions. Danny Trejo will be there, who we've also had in our studio, and more. Friday and Sunday tickets are available at the door. And for more of the gore in store, visit MonsterMania.net. And also brought to you by Auto Lenders. Visit Auto Lenders' newest location in Exton, PA, with over 3,000 vehicles to choose from on AutoLenders.com, a smarter way to buy a car. So tomorrow on the show, we don't know if Preston's going to be in the studio or not.
But we're going to be here.
We will be here.
With our enhanced version. We have a comedian coming in, yes?
We do. So Tim Dillon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he'll be in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. So whether Preston is here or not, we will have him in studio.
And we'll reconvene, and then it's onward towards Friday, where we're going to be, we'll have our special sports correspondents,
yep,
down at spring training, Kathy, Marissa, and Nick, and finish up the week. So we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, rage on.
Preston and Steve, love you, hate you, live.
See what happens when I'm working? I can't actually sit home and watch the game. Guys lose. 9 games, they killed it. Now I'm not there to watch them, and they lose. Tell my wife, I need season tickets forever so that they win forever. It's all about me. I'm just saying, I'm their good luck charm.
Next message.
I'm not telling a whole bunch of people yet, but I'm super excited. And I just found out that I'm pregnant. Holy
next message.
You piece of soulless wienerless, maybe. Whoever the chose shark to do to do to bull this morning is gonna me up all day. You're gonna make me crazy.
The Preston and Steve Love You Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.